This is PFW in Progress.
The pressures, and I'm not judging them, I'm not labeling them, but they are destroying your potential. There are no more shenanigans, no more tomfoolery, no more ballyhoo.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are in the presence of greatness.
Paul Perillo.
Double burger.
Chuck, I had a double burger.
Did you shut up? I know what you ordered. I was there.
So give me that sandwich.
You mean your sandwich? I bought it.
Can I have my food now, please?
Here's your double burger.
Mikey, Ricky, Danny, Terry, Mikey, Davey, Timmy, Tommy, Joey, Robbie, Johnny.
And Andy. And Andy.
Former winners include Nobel laureates, Fields Medal winners, renowned astrophysicists, and lowly.
Andy Hart.
Well, that's all. If you have any questions, I'm sure that Tom has the answers.
Some guy named Tom.
Look, you're my best friend, so don't take this the wrong way. 20 years, if you're still living here, coming over to my house to watch the Patriots game, I'll kill you.
PFW in Progress.
Sky rockets in flight, afternoon delight. Hey, afternoon delight.
Got to put my microphone on, you know, that's one of the... That's right. You got to put yours on too, right? Tom, you in there?
Yeah, my microphone is on.
Now I can hear. Yeah.
Well,
all right.
That's Gary not being prepared for a show. Wow.
Wow.
Now Sally coming out fire.
Now he owes you an apology.
Making friends again.
Well, needless to say, we're a little grumpy here at PFW in Progress. That was a tough, tough loss, and we'll be dissecting this game for quite a while, and we'll do that today here on PFW in Progress. We're in our off-season schedule now. Every Wednesday from 12 to 2 is when we'll be here. So if you came looking for us yesterday, well, you didn't find us because we weren't there.
You weren't listening.
12 to 2 every Wednesday from now until the season starts. And, of course, you know, we'll have draft shows and things like that. So we'll let you know if we're going to do anything special. But you can count on us every Wednesday, right?
Absolutely.
And it's the whole gang. You get all four of us. So that's cool. The website, the web email address is, the email address is still the same, webradio@patriots.com. That's webradio@patriots.com. Phone number is 508-543-7. Let me try that again. 508-543-7482.
Can we try the whole show again?
You know, and that's the email address.
You can tell we're in off-season mode.
Jeez.
Debacle. Yeah, Fred's employees leaving at like 3:30.
He's
blatantly lying to his face. Well, we're going to get coffee.
Well, why'd you never come back?
Who is this?
Well, we drove back in yesterday from the TV show. Lori Baranski, Maura O'Brien, and Kyle Pasady were walking out to their cars. And Lori turns to Fred when he said something to her, and she goes, oh, we're getting coffee. You want one? And they never returned.
I should have said yes. Then yes. They would have had to come back.
I'd fire their asses.
Caught them red-handed.
Wow. So.
That's terrible. The disrespect.
Although Andy did leave 5 minutes later.
No, I didn't. I was the last one there.
Ten minutes.
No, I was there till 5 because I printed out the new CBA, which we have, by the way. I printed out a copy.
You got the whole thing?
Yeah.
Wow.
I had Carol print it out on one of the big copiers. I didn't do it right at our printer.
Oh, okay. Where was that available?
NFLPA.org.
Okay. Nice.
I printed it out. I started reading it, looking through some things. Now I need a lawyer to explain to me what I read.
Well, that's what happens to me all the time. I get so overwhelmed when I read
it. I went looking for franchise and transition stuff, and not sure if it was always like this, but the transition tag has no compensation. It just gives you the right of first refusal if you transition.
I know they watered down the transition.
I think it used to have compensation.
Yeah. It was the average of the top 10.
You can match,
rather than
right?
the top
right.
five.
Right, it's the top 10, and you have right of first refusal, but that's it. You don't get anything if they sign elsewhere. And the other thing I read, now I need to clarify this with somebody who knows, but it looked to be, based on, you know, paragraph 7, subpoint I, topic CC, that if you franchise a guy 3 years in a row, the third time he can't negotiate with anybody else. He can only negotiate with you.
Huh.
Which is kind of weird.
That's kind of weird. That's not fair.
But I said to Paul, transition tag, I'd transition Asante Samuel tomorrow just to guarantee myself the right to match whatever he gets on the open market.
I don't think that's the problem, though.
What do you mean?
That's how I felt.
If somebody's going to give him a $16 million signing bonus,
but that's
irrelevant.
That's irrelevant. No, I think that's irrelevant. It gives you the option. If he's pissy, it stops him from just signing a deal at 12:01 on March 2nd.
But I think he's shown interest to stay here, so I think he would let the Patriots.
Oh, I don't think he's shown interest to stay here. I think he's shown
interest
to want to see what's out there.
Yeah, but what happens when you get to one of those situations, Tom, where you get into a room and they say, here's the offer, you leave here, the offer goes away. Patriots don't even get a chance to,
right.
to match it.
I think it's dumb not to use it. I don't understand.
Maybe the Patriots should be offering them stuff right now that aren't quote-unquote laughable.
Well, I think they are. I think we'll see.
I heard the word laughable.
That was a long time ago.
It was yesterday.
Yesterday. Based on something that happened
laughable?
A while ago.
Who used the word laughable? I read it somewhere. So
yeah, that's what he said a long time ago about the Patriots' first offer.
Wasn't that long ago.
A year ago.
It's going to take $14 to $15 million up front.
Didn't you guys tell me it was around week 6 or 7?
That the agent said they were close
that
to
a wasn't
deal.
What, that wasn't the laughable. That wasn't.
Yeah, that couldn't have been laughable if he says they were close to it.
Right.
He said that, their latest offer was laughable.
Their latest one?
Yes.
Well, I didn't read
then we're
that.
Seeing, I mean,
I didn't see that.
Again, we're hearing different things, you know, because like Paul Andy said, week 7 they were close.
And
so
if you're
it couldn't
close,
have been laughable.
Yeah.
And that's from the agent.
That was week 7, Fred. Guess what? A lot of things happened.
I'm just
week
saying.
Seven.
I mean, but I heard that the first offer that they made before week 7 was considered laughable. That, yeah. I remember hearing that. You know, what? I'm looking at the people I'm talking to. He's shaking his head because I'm looking at this.
I shake
little...
my head because everybody stops talking and looks at my note.
What is?
Well,
it?
I wasn't talking.
I wasn't talking either.
Fred
was the one who was talking.
Lawrence in Oregon.
Someone's on the phone?
Yeah, what's up?
Larry, what's up?
One second, Larry, before you get into it. You know, on all these other radio stations, people are you know, they have to wait a little bit. You know, on
this
one.
This one's important.
You know, Gary makes
this one is important.
All right, Larry, what do you got?
All right, I'm from Wareham, went to Northeastern, grew up.
He's from Northeastern.
New England.
Okay.
Go Huskies.
About 1974, I became a Colts fan, so
okay.
I've been waiting a long time for this phone call.
Oh, wow.
Now, you guys, I've been listening to your show for 3 years, and I talked a bunch of crap the first two playoff games, and I had to eat my words, so I'm not going to call and, you know, rub it in at all. I just wanted to let you guys know that I'm going to shoot a couple pizzas out to you from Papa Gino's.
Nice.
Screw all of you.
Our new favorite caller.
Gary's really upset.
We always did like the Colts.
Yeah. I liked Pacific Northwest-based Colts fans.
Yes.
I don't know about you.
Who used to
very
go to
intelligent.
Northeastern.
Very intelligent.
That went to Northeastern as well, yes.
And I ordered a copy of the I got a subscription to Patriots Football Weekly.
Really?
That's great. That
cements
it as the greatest caller ever.
You've gone above and beyond, and we really appreciate it.
Yep.
So when can we expect those pizzas?
So what time will those pizzas be here?
I just need the delivery info. So.
Oh, there you go. Gary will take care of that.
I do have a couple comments.
You're all right. Hey, look.
You're entitled.
You're entitled to gloat.
And you know what? Just in all seriousness, I know it's going to sound corny, but as we were walking down, you know, a couple of the Colts employees, and I'm not talking about like Bill Polian in the front office. I'm talking about, you know, ushers and security people. And I actually wished a lot of them well on the way out. Their looks on their faces was, that was one of the greatest games I've ever attended. I think I put it right up there with the Carolina Super Bowl. But the looks on those people's faces that they had finally won a game, it was very similar to me
to the wing
as I felt as a Red Sox fan when they finally beat the Yankees. And I, you know, look, the game's over now. You can't do anything about it. I'm happy for them.
Yeah, that was an incredible game. I mean, even if you weren't. You know, if you weren't involved with one of the teams that was playing, that had to be a great game for everybody.
Yep.
So, just a couple things. You guys, I had to bite my tongue Friday, but I did send an email out. It was 10:30 in the morning, and I said the Colts would rush for 130 and the Pats would rush for 90. And I sent the email back to you guys just so you know I'm not lying, but I think the Colts ended with 128. And the Pats ended with 92.
I think it was 93 and 125.
So in other words, you were wrong. No, obviously, nailed it on
I've
both
seen
sides.
The game about five times now. I like to watch it.
I like to watch it.
I think the Patriots had 85 yards rushing with about 12:45 in the second quarter.
Yeah, 84 yards rushing.
Yep.
Amazing.
That is correct.
So.
Yep.
And then they stopped running for some reason. Even though their defense was tired and they would have done a nice job for them keeping them off the field, they just didn't run the ball anymore. And it's one of the coaching criticisms that are being thrown around New England these days and, you know, the rare criticism of Bill Belichick in a big game.
Yeah. And the other thing is you know, the comments about Tony Dungy getting out-coached by Belichick all the time, I think some of these things now have to start going away. I mean, the Colts can't run the ball. I think it was Tom Casale believed that the Colts couldn't run the ball if they got it near the end zone. And
I did believe that. Instead, the guy went untouched up the middle.
Did you see Wolfe? He got pancaked by Jeff Saturday.
Yeah. No, they opened that up like the Red Sea, just parted.
That hole was so big, Lawrence, that there was, and I don't think it was true, but there was immediate speculation in the press box to wondering whether or not the Patriots had maybe let them score to try to get the ball back quicker. Now, I don't think that was the case. I don't think that they did that, but that just is a testament to the job that you mentioned Saturday's block, but he wasn't alone. The whole line just completely took care of everybody.
Eric Alexander was killed.
He was the only one even close. Was Alexander, and he wasn't close.
He wasn't
to making
close,
a play.
Yeah.
So and the mystery was, why weren't they using that timeout with about 100?
It's another question that Patriots fans are asking.
There's a lot of questions right now, and the questions we're not used to asking about the coaches for the Patriots, but I don't think they handled the fourth quarter very well.
Lawrence, let me ask you a question, being a Colts fan. I think the 3rd-and-10 run to Heath Evans was one of the worst calls in the history of professional football. What did you think as a Colts fan when you thought the game's on the line and you saw the ball in Heath Evans' hand? You must have been
feeling pretty good.
Oh, yeah. Now the thing I hate about Belichick is I think he has such little respect for the Colts defense that he goes on fourth down all the time. Now, it would have seemed really crazy, but they had 4th-and-2 or – and they punted. I guess you have to punt back to make the other team go deep. But if he had gone on fourth down after they missed that pass, and that was an amazing play by
Sanders.
Yeah, I think he knew that they were going to go to Troy Brown, and Brady looked like he was pretty mad. That was kind of uncharacteristic, him kind of pointing it out to Troy Brown that he should have kept going. I think he was kind of pointing to Brown like, keep running. Because if Brown keeps running towards the sideline, he probably catches that ball.
We'll never know, Lawrence.
Just
we'll
one of a
know.
Million plays in that game
but,
that you can dissect.
What a great game. I mean, I want the Patriots to make it back because...
So you can beat them again?
We still owe you one more. So it's not over.
This is good. This is starting to be a nice little rivalry where it's not just one-sided anymore. And we'll see what happens next
year. It is one-sided. Three in a row. Every time.
We're talking about playoffs. We're talking about the playoffs.
You guys really want to laugh? Take a listen to the Colts podcast. It's so pathetic. I mean, I seriously listen to you guys every day, and I'm on the West Coast, so I've got to do it from work with my headphones on. And this show is just this show's good.
So maybe getting to the Super Bowl, they'll step it up, and you know.
I think they should beat Chicago pretty bad. I think they should.
But we'll never know.
You know, they still got to close the deal.
What do we know? All right, listen, here's the Papagino's info, and I'll give it to you out loud just in case anyone else wants to send us stuff for the future. You can have this info.
Every Wednesday at noon, we'll be looking for food.
Yes, someone should send us
this on the website.
Yeah. The number is 508-543-1516. That's 508-543-1516. That's Papagino's, and you deliver it to one Patriot place, have it delivered to the security desk. Attention, Gary. And that's it.
Foxborough, Massachusetts.
You got that?
Well, they know because it's the Foxborough Papagino's.
Oh, all right.
All right.
So 508-543-1516, one Patriot place. Go to security. Attention, Gary.
And Lawrence is our favorite listener for this week.
We appreciate it, Lawrence.
Well done, Lawrence. Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Good luck in the Super Bowl.
To you and all the Colts fans
go
who
Colts.
Finally had a win. So.
Fred couldn't stand it.
He had
a little dig in there.
He had to take a little jab.
What's a jab? They finally had a win.
What's a jab?
A win?
What's a jab?
They've won a lot
like
of games
that.
Recently.
They never got to the Super Bowl before. And now they finally did.
Yes, Indianapolis.
All right. But is that okay for
that's
you?
That's fine.
Everything but Patriots.com? God forbid.
You are so bitter.
Jesus.
But see, I just want to... I'm listening to what Lawrence said there about the podcast with the Colts. I don't want to be that kind of podcast where I'm laughed at. That's why I think we need to talk about that. I don't think we need the subtle little shots at the Colts.
Fred,
I don't want to be
so
a Yahoo podcast.
We're so good that we have Colts fans listening to us on a regular basis.
And sending pizzas.
And sending pizzas.
Sounds like a raise.
Yeah.
Keep this in mind in the review. We're killing on the internet. And by the way, Lawrence, just so you know, I really do hope that you're only our favorite listener for a week, because hoping somebody else steps up next Wednesday at noon and calls us.
I think there's going to be a lot of people who give us food.
I hope so.
I'm sure Sean Mack will come through for us from Hazleton, PA.
Well, there should be some incentive for them to do it.
Maybe that drunk in Ireland will send over some vodka and potatoes.
That's the incentive.
Tom could give him a tour, maybe, or something.
I'm not giving him nothing. I thought you were the tour guide.
Tour? I can't even make it out to my car without
who's
going to
give Tom the tour?
He knows his cube and the executive washroom.
I didn't know we had a sink down the hall until yesterday.
Well, guys, why don't we have a lot of emails, but do you have any thoughts that you want to share with our listeners about the game itself?
Yeah, I just the only thing I'll keep saying is I can't believe more Patriot fans aren't mad about the 3rd and 10 run to Heath Evans. If I was at home,
you have said that a couple times.
No, but where's the outrage though? If I was at home, I would have taken a baseball bat to my TV. I mean, I know Giant fans. If that happened with them, just think about it, Fred. Marty Schottenheimer last week, same situation, runs the ball up the gut, not to LT. To Lorenzo Neal on 3rd and 10, he's getting killed on ESPN all over the place for playing Marty ball. I thought that was just a horrendous. You get a first down there, you're going to milk the clock. Plus, you're playing the Colts. I want the ball in Tom Brady's hands. He throws the ball 10, 15 yards down the field. Most likely there'll be a guy wide open. I don't know if they would catch it because they dropped some in that game, but I just thought that was a terrible call.
I'll say the combination of that call and the timeout situation. At the end, I talk all the time about, it seems every time the Patriots play somebody, they don't understand how to manage the clock, and they don't understand
the
how
other
to,
team doesn't.
Yeah,
right.
The other team doesn't know how to deal with timeouts when you're on defense, and I think the Patriots did a poor job when they were on defense mm-hmm. of managing their timeouts there on that last drive. I thought they could have called the timeout at least a play earlier than they did, probably two plays earlier. I would have rather have had no timeouts left when the Patriots got the ball back in more time than have those two timeouts that Andy said, one of which they, you know, what are they, going to save it for next year?
Yeah, you give Brady more time, he can compensate for the lack of timeouts because they get up to the line so quickly.
Right.
Well, I would imagine if Brady hadn't been intercepted, they would have called that timeout. If he had completed.
Right, but you're already in desperation mode.
Yeah,
you're already not just running your offense down the field. You're in desperation
mode. There was
24
seconds left when that ball was snapped on that
interception. There would have been over 40 seconds if they did it Paul's way. That's a lot more time.
If we're going to vent here, I would say that the timeouts both sides of the ball, that's one thing I didn't get. Okay, so you're saving them for offense. Well, then you didn't call them on offense either. So
right.
Right. You either use them up on defense or use them on offense, but don't just save them. The other aspect, not running the ball in the second half, due to all the circumstances of the game, the fact that you're struggling to hang on, that the Colts are driving down the field, your defense is getting worn out. And plus, it's the Colts who, unless Bill bought into the fact that they were suddenly great on defense, you should be able to run the ball
to some
success.
How many times did they have, how many rushing attempts did they have in the second half?
I believe eight.
Five.
Five for eight.
Including one of which is yours, right?
Yeah. And Andy, Andy was about to punch me in the press box because I kept turning him and saying, why is Heath Evans in the game? Where's Dylan? Where's Maroney? Where are
right.
these guys?
Well, that was
where were they? That's the question.
But that's all, I think in general, if you, all those decisions aside, I think the coaching struggled too in that Heath Evans is on the field when he shouldn't be in it, 12 men in the huddle.
Yeah.
Kevin Falk's not available to go. Seemed like they were scrambling what to do without Kevin Falk in certain roles. Now, Maroney and Dylan are on the sideline. And the big one to me, Eric Alexander thrown out there to play a key role when he'd never played before. That I think is questionable because that's a decision you made with a full week of preparation and said, this gives our team the best chance to win,
was
a guy
Kevin
who's never
Falk
played.
Was Kevin Falk unable to go in
he
the
was,
second
Kevin
half?
Kevin Falk was injured. So late in the game, he was injured. I talked to him after the game, but nothing with Dylan and Maroney.
Right.
Maybe just because Heath Evans is a better catcher, ball catcher? I don't know.
No, I'm talking about running the ball.
Yeah.
Okay,
so Heath Evans is the backup Falk on third down.
Right.
Fine, but run the ball. Dylan and Maroney, use them.
Five carries for Dylan and Maroney in the second half. Well, actually, four carries for those two because
one
we
is
know that Evans,
yeah. I mean, one
Evans
is Evans.
Had one. That doesn't make any sense to me. And I was very defensive of the play calling in the regular season mm-hmm. game in the second half. Because I didn't feel like they abandoned the run. I felt like they ran it in the second half and just didn't do it as effectively. Well, four carries isn't a big enough sample to say they didn't do it effectively in the second half.
Right.
I just thought that didn't make any sense.
And I think you saw on the other side
what happens when you – I mean, the Colts came out and ran the ball in the second half, and it opened up Dallas Clark down the middle because guys were coming up. The Patriots just abandoned the run, and I think the Colts are bringing everybody. I told Andy I was watching the game on TV, and after a first down pass of 6 yards, it was second and four. The Colts took Rob Morris out of the game and brought in a defensive back. So they were playing for the. They didn't even think the Patriots were going to run at that point. So you know, I thought that you know, I agree with these guys.
It's puzzling. I mean,
very rarely do you can you complain about Bill Belichick and that coaching staff, but there was some things in this game I think you
no question. And so they're so tangible. It's not like you're grasping at straws. I think anyone who watched that game can come up with five or six, and you say, wow, five or six things where I'm questioning Bill Belichick and his staff.
Just unpatriot-like behavior. And you know, that penalty, the 12 men in the huddle.
Yeah,
that's,
boy, was
you
that
never
bad.
See,
that was
you
huge.
Never, ever see the Patriots seemingly unprepared, and the coaches always talk about that penalty in particular as a coaching penalty.
Right.
It's personnel decisions, and, you know, you can make an argument that maybe someone was supposed to come off the field and didn't, but ultimately that comes down to the coaching staff, and I just thought some of the things were strange. It was a great game, you know, all of this said, and, you know,
it came a minute away from the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it came down to 4 yards. If they got 4 yards on that third down pass to Troy Brown, they probably win the game. You know, so I'm not sitting here saying, geez, you know, we have a terrible team and we can't overcome all of these things. But I thought it's one of those lost opportunities because I really think it was a Super Bowl that you're going to look back in 5 years and say, you know what, they should have had another one.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. However many they have 5 years from now, you're going to look back and say they should have had one more.
And
it's like the Celtics of the 80s.
You talked about the team, and I'm sure we'll get into this over the next month and stuff, but team that could look a lot different in 2007 with the pending maybe some retirements, free agent losses, so it'll be interesting.
Yeah. Could be a huge difference on this team. There's some veterans that...
I was reading one of the writers. I don't want to mention his name. He's not one of the Boston writers, but he is a beat writer for the Patriots, and he said, you know, one thing you can count on in 07 is that there'll
be changes.
Well, there's changes every year. I mean, for crying out loud.
Changes.
You know?
That's nothing to do with the fact that they lost that game.
Right.
There's going to be changes
regardless.
There's
going to be changes. Yeah, of course.
It's one of Bill's most common quotes is, there's turnover every year.
Yep.
Yeah. What else? Anything else about the game? Or
I'm sure
afterthoughts?
When we start to get
the
emails.
Let the emails direct us. But I just thought it was one of the... I put it right up there with that Carolina game. It's the greatest game I've ever seen in person.
Yep.
I think it's a great game, but I had trouble enjoying it.
Well, yeah. I mean, while the game was going on, I mean, Andy was talking. You know, Andy comes out and looks at me. I was sweating profusely like I had played. I mean,
I was too. I thought
it was because
of the game, but apparently the heat was turned up.
But it was a very tense game.
See, I don't remember it being that hot.
I didn't remember it being that hot.
I was frigid for the early part of the game.
Right. I didn't think it was that hot at all. I just was getting, it was because I was so excited and my adrenaline was, that's what got me sweating.
It was very cold to begin with when it was empty, but I think they do it on purpose because they know when that thing fills up, it's going to get so hot.
You have 60,000 people in there. The
screaming
and I'll
cameras
say this too.
And lights and
I'll say this about Colts fans too is, you know, I thought the game was long over at 21-3. They didn't. I'll give them credit because they didn't have any reason to still have faith.
Sure.
But, you know, based on their playoff history, they had no reason to have faith that they were going to come back. It wasn't like the Patriots fans, you know, had been down before and maybe they could rally. They had a let's go Colts chant down 21-3.
But I'll go back to it. After it was 21-3. The next time the Patriots got the ball back, the Colts were only down by 8 points.
Right.
And that was a big turnaround, that halftime turnaround.
Right, but they
would have been worse.
When they got the sack on Brady down 21-3, the place went crazy, and I turned to Andy and said,
they actually think they're in
this
game.
Yeah, they're down 21.
They showed up.
That was exactly what I was thinking.
The moment they opened those gates all the way through the end, that crowd was the most productive aspect of that whole Indy.
Best fans I've ever seen.
They were on. They never gave up. First of all, they spend endless amounts of money on jerseys because 9 out of 10 people had a jersey on.
That was amazing.
Every single person had
ridiculous.
A blue
that was
jersey.
Amazing. You
so
I
thought
you've reached the desk of Ken Flanders at Gillette Stadium.
Whoever the Ken Flanders is there, he's doing a fine job.
That's 60,000 people at a minimum of $70 each.
Yep.
And I'm sure a lot of them were authentic. So
well, which means you know what they need to do? Just tweak it a little bit so they get them all to buy a new jersey again.
I heard that that's what they were doing.
They're going to?
I think
they haven't changed their uniforms in years.
I believe next year I heard that they were going to tweak their uniforms a little bit.
I would, because those people are clearly going to go out and buy new ones.
Yeah, that was amazing.
They were in the pregame. I loved it when the Patriots and Colts came out from different ends of the tunnel and they would pass in front of sections. You'd hear the section cheering as the Colts come by, and then it would
booing
sort of
as the Patriots
fade off and then pick up the boot. It was almost like they were orchestrated. It was tremendous. Tremendous crowd.
Why don't you guys kind of describe that kicking thing, too? Because that was kind of neat. I didn't really see
that. They got caught up watching Vinatieri hitting his field goals and cheering him.
56 yards, 56. By the way. That would have been good from 66.
And then Gostkowski missing from 45,
well, normally,
46.
Though, and when they warm up, they usually do it on opposite ends.
Yeah.
But for some reason, they were doing it
and
on the same side.
When Gostkowski was kicking, Vinatieri was standing about
right
5 feet away with his arms folded, just watching.
Yeah. Talking to Brad Seeley and putting a little extra pressure.
That's one thing I'm thankful for, that it didn't come down to Vinatieri or Gostkowski. They both had good games. They both hit all their kids.
You know what? I'm
great.
I'm glad of that, too, Fred. I'm glad they both were perfect.
And I'll tell you what,
and
though.
You know what? They both kicked off very well, too.
Yeah.
Even though Hobbs had some long returns, Adams' kicks were going in the end zone.
Yep. But I do think he gets a little nervous playing the Patriots because his two field goals, watching them back on TV, they weren't his perfect down.
Right.
Every game, they're down right down the middle. These two were like barely getting in, and I'm like, boy, something about the Patriots.
Did you happen to see I think it was the one right before the half, the short field goal right before the half, the hold?
Oh, was it a bad hold?
They completely dropped it. It was a bad snap, and the ball was on, as Adams going toward the ball was on the ground. Hunter Smith was a snap on this one.
Oh, okay.
Hunter Smith kind of picked the ball up. It was flat on the ground. Picked it up in like all in one motion, just put it there, and he kicked it all at once. Probably if it had been much longer of a kick, it wouldn't have been good.
Oh, I didn't see. I was forwarding past that.
It was unbelievable.
Mm. All right. Karthik was our first emailer. Some of these came in prior to today, but they're all related to today's show. Says, I'm typing right at the end of the game. It was unbelievable that we let them come back after a 21-3 lead. Colts made a few long time-killing drives, which took a lot of our momentum. We did come back in the game after the big kick return, but the offense was not clicking because we could not be balanced. The only concern I had was the playmaking ability of Maroney. He could not make any sort of plays. Hope we can see a better Maroney, Chad Jackson, David Thomas next year. In addition to the two first-round picks, I also hope the Pats are aggressive this year in free agency by signing Samuels or other big-name linebackers off the market. Samuels has proved that he deserved to be paid better, but not sure if he plays with the same enthusiasm next year. So either Pats should sign him or get a marquee defensive player from free agency. Anyways, great season with you guys covering right from the draft until the AFC Championship game. Have a great offseason. Let's meet before the draft and see how things go for the Pats next year. Tom, good luck with your wedding.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, the Maroney thing is, first, I don't think he's fully healthy because I think those ribs, we heard like it takes a long time for that to heal.
He was back sooner than we heard it.
The other thing
really
is
feasible.
He only had, was it two carries in the second half? I think it was. And both carries, he was swarmed as soon as he got the ball.
But he also did the dance.
No, he did. No, I'm not saying he didn't dance, but I'm just saying he really didn't have many carries in the second half. And I thought one player who played a terrible game was Dan Copen. I thought he played an absolutely horrendous football game. I thought McFarland was in that backfield on virtually every running play, and that was just from watching it on TV, something I took from it.
How about he had 8 carries for 13 yards, right?
Yeah. And one of them was the one on the outside. He had an
8-yard run and a 7-yard run.
And then he lost yards after that on
runs. That's 5 negative carries, basically.
Yeah. And Dylan was nowhere to be found.
That might have been the most surprising aspect of the game.
Yeah.
Was that the Patriots
couldn't
really establish more of a run.
And you know what? I got news for you. If Chad Jackson can't run a fly route on carpet in a big game, see you later.
Well, what happened to Dave Thomas? I mean, I would have liked
to. Dave Thomas is the third tight end.
And he's supposed to be the third. He's supposed to be lesser than the two.
You're playing on a fast track. You know, you're playing in a shootout. You think you can't send Chad Jackson on a fly route? Is he that bad of a player? Because if he is,
many people were predicting they were going to have a key role for him in that game.
Yeah, some people.
Let's see. Renee is Tom Casale's fan club president. She's the one that started the website.
Oh, okay.
She's from Clayton, North Carolina. What the hell was that? She said, I just don't have any words for it. I was just sick watching Peyton Manning throw to the other end of the field. Don't even get me started on the Dan Klecko touchdown. I went into the game so hopeful that we would be playing against the Bears. Season over, on to a more fun topic. go check out these two websites I threw together. I think Paul, Andy, and Fred would get a kick out of them. One is pfwfan.tripod.com, and the other is groups.myspace.tomcasalipfwfans.com.
I didn't know there were two of them.
I didn't know. I saw the PFW one, the tripod one.
Yeah.
I clicked on whatever one had his idiotic so tout ridiculous. Bio thing where he popped off about himself a million times.
So that was from Gridiron Grumblings a long time ago.
And it was actually very entertaining.
He said I would impress him if I got one person to join. I got seven people to join, all to do, wow, look at the douchebag.
Well,
who are the other six?
Those are seven big losers. Yeah, seriously, that is a depressing state of affairs right there. But a couple of things. One, Gary is just really blowing the show. I mean, seriously.
What did he do now?
We're here. We haven't heard Dan Klecko yet, and he caught a touchdown pass. I thought we'd hear that at least 10 times by now, Gary.
You let me produce. You talk your gibberish.
Oh!
Well, produce.
I don't know, Gary. Do you have a fan website? I don't think so.
Well, you yelled at me about the caller.
How's that pizza coming?
But I know Patriot fans are going to be.
I don't think I'm going to make it.
I know Patriot fans are going to be mad at me.
Dan Klecko.
I was actually
Dan
laughing Klecko, like that when Klecko caught that pass. I like Dan Klecko. See, the fans, they only care about whether or not you're a good football player, and that's all they should care about. But we get to talk to these guys on a daily basis, and Klecko is a genuinely nice guy.
Oh, he was.
I mean, he's a terrible football player, but he's a nice guy. And it was just nice to see him contribute like that.
Now that you guys got to see him, you know, up close in person, don't you think he ate the other Dan Klecko?
Yeah.
Dan Klecko. He gained a lot of weight?
Oh, God, yeah.
Really?
No, he's on the Fred Kirsch diet.
Oh, yeah.
Salt from Orlando. The Pats lost, which is sad because they had the lead almost the whole game. The one time the Colts got the lead was at the end. Good season, though. You guys said they would most likely be one and done in the playoffs, so to win two and just miss the third was better than expected. Colts beat us, but Caldwell killed us by dropping that wide-open pass, which is sad because he was the bright spot of the wide receiver core all season. Anyway, I guess Bill will be coaching LT in the Pro Bowl. Doesn't the coach get to handpick one guy for the roster? Will he pick a Patriot, Troy Brown, Asante Samuel?
Troy Brown.
Well, he can pick anyone he wants, right?
Yeah, and then I'll laugh
he
like
can?
Heck.
Believe
I don't know.
Yeah, a need player.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I believe you can pick one need player.
Samuel.
Lonnie Paxton, that's who I'd take.
Yeah, Samuel has gone after another interception for a TD. We have a huge offseason ahead. This is the crossroads, and what we will do will determine if we play well or not for the next few seasons. I wanted to go out on a positive note and say my favorite play of the season, but none just stuck out to me. And on a separate note, Jackson is done. To have a mediocre season he had and not play in the playoffs, if he heard half the stuff that has been said about him, he is done. I don't know him, but I bet he doesn't have the mental toughness to bounce back and make it as a Patriot. He would have already done it if he could. He might make it somewhere else after being released, whenever that may be, see Marquise Hill. And I'm not talking
then
trash.
Then he's got another 3 years to go.
I'm not talking trash. If I turn out to be wrong, I will email back saying so. I was wrong about Julius Peppers.
Mm. Well, now that the season's over, can we all say that this receiving core needs to be addressed? Mm-hmm. Because I understand Caldwell had a good year. Gaffney kind of stepped up. But this is not cutting it. Tom Brady is the best quarterback in professional football, and to have him throw into these stiffs is embarrassing, in my opinion. And as Andy said, with a minute to go in the game, he said, I'll tell you what the problem is here. They don't have any playmakers. Caldwell only catches a 5-yard pass. I mean, this is where it hurts
right.
not to
That's
have
speed
on the field.
That's where you need a guy who can make a play.
And they need to address this position in the offseason. I understand the Deion Branch thing didn't work out the way they wanted it to or thought it would, so now this offseason they need to go make it right.
But the other thing that compounded it was Jackson.
I agree
with that. He could have been on the field there as one of your two receivers as a speedy 4-3 playmaker. Okay, but he can't.
That's actually where I was the most disappointed, Andy, was at the end of the game where you're hoping maybe a guy can get behind the defense, Chad Jackson's sitting on the sidelines.
Can you imagine?
Maybe that's because he runs a 4.75-40 when he has pads on.
I didn't even think of that. But can you imagine if he caught a bomb for a touchdown on that last drive?
Oh,
God.
Can you just imagine that?
There's one reason I'm glad it didn't happen.
Wow.
But even, you know...
But you know what he needs to do? An invincible. I keep thinking of invincible when he's running down the field and after the thing, he takes the pads off and gets, how am I supposed to run in those pads? It's like he needs one of those. And
he should play with no pads.
Right. Something that makes him fast.
Russell from the OC says, on the bright side, not many six-round picks have had this kind of run. Back to the here and now.
It's over.
This is back-to-back weeks where Brady throws ill-advised passes over the middle into coverage. Bledsoe-esque. The truly great ones make the first down and crunch time with the game on the line.
Oh, Fred, just hang on a second. You can't blame him for the Colts one.
Right.
I mean,
it's
desperation. He was just trying to hit Watson across the middle with 20. I mean, what do you expect?
The game's over.
I mean, the Chargers one, I think you can be a little bit more critical.
Wait a minute.
And the next sentence, the truly great ones, implying that he's not one of the truly great ones?
Let's not.
Here we go.
Well, let's finish now.
I love New England fans.
But it's not fair. It's not fair.
Not only that, but with the defense in obvious distress, they should have went for it on fourth down. At very least, if they scored, there is more time on the clock to make the winning drive. And would it have been too much to ask Chad Jackson to at least be out there to run a couple of deep routes with a minute left? It looks like the magic really did leave in Denver last year. So who is giving Samuel and Graham rides to the airport? Maroney didn't look like he is ready for the real prime time. And right now, in the light of a harsh reality, with the bitter taste of losing still fresh, all I see is a long drop to the middle. At least I can trust this show will stay lively. Thanks for a great year. Love the show. He's in stunned belief in the yellow haze of the OC South.
Wow, Russell is depressed.
Russell's hurting.
You know what I don't get, though? There's all this complaining. No one's yelling about the 3rd and 10.
I know one person who is.
You think with all the complaining going on, someone would say, how can they run the ball on 3rd and 10?
But I'll make this promise to you, okay? You listen a little to the Big Show this afternoon, I'll promise you I'll bring up the 3rd and 10 just for you.
Well, it's hard to get on Brady. I mean, the season he had with those joke receivers, and you can say what you want about Caldwell, but Andy says it all the time, the guy catches 40-yard receptions, seriously.
I kind of feel bad for him because I think he had a good year.
Right, he did.
And now everybody's making fun of his eyes because he dropped one in the playoffs. It's like Watson, I thought, earlier in the year. Put in positions where they're not capable of succeeding. Watson wasn't going to come out and have 120 receptions for 2,000 yards and be the, you know, focal point of the offense.
Right, if you can get a good receiver and Caldwell's on the other side, I'm feeling pretty good about that.
But you know, everything was out of place.
The stuff with Brady here, too, is, I think, a little bit unfair. I mean, you can't play, you know, how many superlatives could you come up with based on the first 10 playoff games that he played? You couldn't. That's how wonderful he played in those games. You can't just play like that every single game. I'm sorry. I don't care how good you are. You're going to have some down games. Now, the last 4 playoff games, he's been ordinary. Okay.
But I wouldn't say terrible. He was one of the top any reasons that
God,
they lost
no.
on Sunday.
Absolutely
I wasn't
not.
I could get
going,
to 120
did you see
on the
Brady?
List.
Yeah,
right. Absolutely.
Before
no.
I get to Tom Brady.
You know, I would say he played much better than he played the previous week
right.
in San Diego.
Right.
But I'm just, you know, like you looked at the first whatever the first 10 games, it was something like 14 touchdowns and 3 interceptions. The last 4 was 6-6.
Yeah. The problem with that, what they had left, 50 some odd seconds, you know. Even with the timeouts, you had to get like within the 10 yard line with time to run a few plays.
Right.
That was tough.
And if you want to know Brady's greatness, watch the touchdown pass to Jabbar Gaffney.
Right.
And tell me how many quarterbacks dodge those defenders, see the guy in the back of the end zone, and throw a bullet like that.
And
there's probably one.
And we were talking about it yesterday. I just felt like it was an amazing play because I, just looking at it, he never took his eyes off the field. And he didn't look
he
at
feels the pressure
he didn't
somehow.
Look at Booger McFarland coming at him. He was
it's
looking
amazing.
at Gaffney.
Yeah.
And he put that ball, I mean, look, I think that was a close call. You know, we talk a lot about the calls that went against the Patriots. I think that was a close one that went for them
on three different levels.
I don't think he would have
three different rules.
I don't think he would have gotten his feet in bounds had he not been hit. And I think from looking at the replays that his heels were out of bounds before he jumped, which would make it an illegal touch. All that being said, he put that ball where only his guy could catch it, and it was just an unbelievable play by Brady.
Right. That's no reflection on Brady
no.
if his heels were out.
Great play.
Still a great play on Brady's half. Let's see. Raymond from Turlock, California. Tough loss. I'm not going to sit and make excuses because I'm proud of our team and thought they fought their asses off, but the 32 points in the second half is going to bother me for a long time, especially with the way our D played in the first half. I really hope we re-sign Asante. He proved he could go toe-to-toe with a top-notch receiver and hold his own. I'm really looking forward to next year, especially with the draft. Hopefully, we make a splash in free agency this year and get some more speed on the defensive side of the ball. Thanks for the great coverage. I'll be listening and sending in emails every Wednesday, and before you know it, we'll be back in action.
Well, Paul, we should probably address this. This whole free agency thing, there's not many good free agents. When you say there's basically three, there's not counting Samuel, Nate Clements, Adelius Thomas, and Lance Briggs are the three big defensive free agents. Now, say one of those guys gets franchised or gets signed by their own team. Now you're down to two, and you got the entire league bidding for them. I just think this isn't the year. It's going to be a tough year to find a bunch of guys in free agency. I think Andy's right where you're likely to get more of a Donnie Edwards type of player.
Right. And they're always,
I'll take them at this point.
There always ends up being more guys available than you think, and some of the guys that you think are going to be available, and like Tom just said,
Mike Fury just got signed.
Someone ends up getting signed.
Right, we're not factoring in salary cap cuts, which there may not be a lot of this year because of all the room teams have.
Yeah, and, look, this. It's a tough offseason, but we know, like we talked about it right off the top of the show, we know there are going to be a lot of changes. We know there's going to be some guys that are going to be gone, and it's not going to be just the free agents.
One of the changes will not be Bill Belichick.
No, but there could be guys like you have four or five veterans. You got Bruschi, Rodney
Brown.
Harrison, Troy Brown, Corey Dillon. I mean, any of those guys or none of those. Maybe they're all back, and maybe none of them are back.
Right.
You know,
but they're all
guys
looking at retirement, at least thinking about it.
Yeah. Let's see. David DiNunzio writes in.
Hey, DiNunzio.
He's from Storrs, Connecticut. He says, I had to wait till the morning to write this. Otherwise, I'd be too emotional and unable to control myself. I'm not quite as disgusted with the loss as I could be. I can't put anything on Brady, really, and I can't actually put all that much on the defense. They were tired in the dome, and Ellis Hobbs was outstanding returning kicks and covering Wayne. I felt as though he played the game of his life. On the other hand, Lawrence Maroney and Rashae Caldwell should be released. They decided not to show up. Manning was great, and I have to give all the credit in the world to the Colts, who were outstanding in crunch time. Now it's time for me to exercise my demons versus all the convenient Colts bandwagoners, even though I live in Connecticut. Well, guys, it's going to be a long week in off-season. I'll wear my patch stuff around, and I'm putting my Brady jersey on my Brady jersey today. Thank you for the incredible coverage this season. Easily the best coverage of any season I have witnessed so far.
Well, thanks. We appreciate that.
Lane Kiffin got a 5-year deal.
Oh, sure. He's 31. What do you expect?
So when he's fired after 1 or 2 years, he's still going to get paid for another 3.
Yeah.
That he's got no chance. No chance. If he succeeds, it's dumb luck because nothing else lends you to believe that that guy's going to be successful. He's coaching in college, his whole career, basically, under a guy who failed twice in the NFL, and suddenly that prepares him to be the head coach of a National Football League team at 31?
That's crazy. Well, did you hear one reporter ask the question, this has been sort of a black hole for coaches over the last 7 years. What makes you think you could be successful? And Al Davis, cut in at that point. He goes, I really, I don't know if he said offended, but I don't agree with that statement. This isn't a black hole. This is a great opportunity. A lot of our coaches are out there being successful in the NFL now, and our former coaches, he's just.
Yeah, after they left there.
Right, exactly.
Well, it's a black hole. At what point does somebody in that organization take one for the team and put a pillow over his head?
That's it.
Al died in his sleep.
Somebody's got
Tom inspired by the Gladiator.
Somebody has to unplug him. Really?
They do.
They have to pull the plug.
They do. They really do.
And that
he's
place
not
will never be better until
anymore.
He's gone.
He's not seeing reality.
No, he's not. Al Davis, we're talking about.
I agree.
Let's see. Jim in Florida, as a 40-plus year Pats fan, I'm understandably disappointed with yesterday's loss, but very, very proud of the team for getting so far in 06. After losing Givens and Branch and starting the season undermanned at wide receiver, I didn't think the team had a prayer of going 12-4 and advancing to the AFC Championship game. Hats off to Belichick and company for an impressive 2006 season. Just for the record, I didn't watch last year's Super Bowl, and like Brady, probably won't watch this year's either.
I bet you Brady watches.
Watching the Super Bowl will just remind me that the Pats should be playing, not Indy. Anyway, where do we go from here? Realistically, who do we most likely stand to lose to free agency, and how likely do we stand to lose Harrison and or Bruschi to retirement?
Well, Samuel Graham, gone. Banta Kane.
I don't believe
gone.
Both of them will go. I don't believe that. I believe one or both will be back.
And you believe Ty Law was coming back because they gave his jersey.
Look, I believe that this...
Because then that means that your way, you'll have to criticize their way, and you don't want to do that.
What, if they come back?
No, if they leave.
Don't come they don't.
I know, I'm going to criticize it if both.
I know, that's what I'm saying, and you don't want to.
There's
so
no question
don't want to,
this is an important
offseason. I will.
And right. They're going to be due criticism if they treat it the way they've treated some in the past. If they let those guys go and sign the next Monty Beisel, the next Chad Brown, the next this, the next that, for 1 year, $850,000 contracts, they deserve criticism. And if they let Samuel go and sign Lance Briggs, or okay, you made an effort.
Right.
Yeah, we got to get some talent.
What happens?
We do. I mean,
well said.
But I'm disappointed because the fans are already starting their anti-Samuel campaign, talking about they're calling him get paid. Listen, he's had that tattoo all season.
That happens every year. You know, as soon as a guy might, you know, show some interest in actually getting paid for a day's work, you automatically get shunned by Patriots Nation because they think the only way you can win a Super Bowl is by doing it the way the Patriots do.
Well, let me ask you, Paul, if you're not going to sign a corner who's playing as good as anyone in the league in the prime of his career,
Jack Patton,
then who are you going to sign? I just don't know. Where's the money going? I just don't understand it. I say you got to get the deal done, and I think Patriot fans will be very upset if Samuel leaves. Just for the record out there, I don't eat pizza. So if you could send a turkey sub when you send the pizza, because this is basically useless to me.
All right. Well, pizza has arrived. We want to thank Lawrence for that. And we'll take a little bit of break, and we'll get right back to your emails.
Hey, sweetie. When I picked up the dry cleaning today, I put 43 cents into our savings.
I'll alert the media.
Introducing Keep the Change from Bank of America.
And at lunch, I put away 61 cents.
Really?
That much. Each time you buy something with your Bank of America Visa check card, we round up the amount to the next dollar and transfer your change from your checking to your savings account.
I checked online, and so far we've saved
$2.25. Wow. A whole $2.25.
Try $225.
Oh.
Plus, we'll match 100% of your Keep the Change savings for the first 3 months and continue matching 5%. Up to $250 a year.
I'm back from the store. Just saved 8 cents.
I'll alert the media.
Open a checking account and keep the change. Only at Bank of America. Higher standards. Match paid annually after anniversary of enrollment. Savings accounts include regular savings with annual percentage yield of 0.5%. Member FDIC. Patent pending.
How are you? Please, sit down. What's the reason for your visit?
Well, doctor, I need to ask you about something that I've been feeling lately.
Go on.
Doctor, you see, every time I drink Pepsi, I start hearing this. It's here in my head, and it seems like it's coming from inside of me. And then I start feeling an urge to dance and jump, and a strong sensation of happiness fills my whole body.
What else?
You know, I take a sip, and suddenly, my hips start shaking, my feet start sliding, and it happens when I'm with my friends, at school, out in the street, at my granny's house, even when I'm at the movies. It happens everywhere. Tell me, what is it? What is going on?
Well, I know what your problem is.
Yes?
You're out of tune. The song goes like this.
Pepsi, it's the cola.
When you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sack Attack sausages, First Down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sack Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, First Down Franks, and more. With Patriots Gridiron Grillers, you don't have to wait for the game for that great stadium taste. Gridiron Grillers are available at Agar and CNS Wholesalers, Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Food Master, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farms, Shaw's, Stop and Shop, and at your local supermarket. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
Hey, sweetie, when I picked up the drive...
Bank of America would like to take a moment to let you hear what our home equity line of credit sounds like. You see, if you want to remodel the kitchen,
Smells great, hun.
Or renovate the bathroom.
Oh, my darling, oh, my darling, oh, my...
Or fix up anything around the house, Bank of America's Home Equity Line of Credit is the easy, low-cost way to make it all happen. There's no paperwork to bring, so applying is simple. And you'll have access to your money just about everywhere, by phone, online, and at our banking centers nationwide. All of which makes putting that pool in the backyard a little less of a dream and a little more of a reality. So whether you want to have the pros handle it or do it yourself, a Bank of America Home Equity Line of Credit is your ticket. Apply today. Just visit bankofamerica.com, call 1-800-900-9000, or stop by your neighborhood banking center.
Clementine.
Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Bank of America. Higher standards. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Gentlemen, let's broaden our minds. Lawrence.
All right, back here at PFW in Progress. I want to thank Lawrence again for the pizza. It has arrived and it tastes great.
I wouldn't know.
Tom doesn't get to eat pizza. You always have to include a turkey sub with no mayonnaise.
Yep.
For Tom.
Or onions.
No onions?
Yeah, no onions or mayonnaise.
Basically okay. No anything, just turkey.
Turkey, cheese, and a little oil and vinegar does me just fine.
Okay. Well, that's great. Thank you, Lawrence.
Love it, Lawrence. Screw Tom.
Back to the emails. Webradio@patriots.com is email address. Webradio@patriots.com. Craig from Boxborough. Hello, A-Team and Fred.
That guy's really been getting on you lately, Fred.
I love it.
Son of a... this offseason is going to suck even more than last one, but at least we fans can take comfort in the fact that the Pats will be contenders every year. What the killer is the fact that we must watch sports like basketball, baseball, hockey, and NASCAR. NASCAR being the only sports idiots can understand, insert Gilligan joke here. This is going to suck.
Hey.
At least we can take comfort in the fact that Fred will be sitting home on his couch on a Sunday afternoon with his sweatpants on, acting like the consummate Al Bundy, one hand down the front of the pants and one hand placed inside a bag of Lay's brand potato chips.
That sounds more like me without the potato chips. Fred actually does like yard work.
Boxborough's not that far a drive from here, is it? I think I might pay somebody a visit. Anyway, a convenient combination of male curiosity and empty calories to pass the time. Go Bears, Tom for president. And P.S., when does training camp start exactly? Well, whenever it is, you're not invited. Wow. Let's see. Brett writes in. He's from Fishers, Indiana. Wonder if he's a Colts fan. Says the receivers let Brady down, as I predicted last week. The Colts did pretty much everything they wanted to do in the second half. Linebackers were a pretty major hole in defense, as I also predicted. The tight ends were open all day long.
You should have just listened to him.
Joseph Addai runs in untouched for that last touchdown. Thank you for sarcastically calling me an intelligent football fan on the air last week and disagreeing with all my opinions. Congratulations for being overachievers in giving us one hell of a game to watch at the RCA Dome yesterday.
Go f*** yourself. Well, that's another intelligent email.
Have they won the Super Bowl yet, though? Because, you know, if you beat the Patriots and lose to the Bears, you really didn't do anything. So
you're with Matt Millen.
Yeah.
And if they lose to my Bears, my dream is correct.
Yep, they're your Bears it. Now?
No, I dream that the Colts got to the Super Bowl and they lost.
They did.
And he said that a while ago.
Now, I know his dream would be correct, but he said if they lose to my Bears.
Did I say my?
Yes.
Yeah. Well,
is that the team
say,
you picked?
You can't
I didn't worry about it, Fred.
You can't misspeak one little iota with
no,
Andy.
I'm just checking. I know your old team was the Broncos. I didn't know if you'd moved on to the Bears.
Let's
He's
see.
Off the Broncos.
Jason
I know. I thought maybe he was on the Bears now.
Okay, you can shut up now. Jason Dvorkin writes in with last night's ratings. We did our wrap-up show on Neckin last
we
night.
We do.
Not good.
After
don't read it then. Make one up.
No, yeah. I mean, it wasn't terrible. We had a 3 at the 11. We had a .31 with a 1 share and then a .41.
You're reading that
share.
On
it's
the
terrible.
Air?
What's wrong with that?
Fred, we were in the
.9s.
We lost what? Half our audience.
Yeah, but half our audience doesn't want to listen to Patriots stuff anymore because they're so
they
upset.
Lost. This guy won't tell you the circulation of the newspaper, but he'll let you know that we tanked on TV.
That's not tanking on that station.
That's tanking.
Which,
that's
by the way, I have a
well,
conversation
on that station,
about
it's actually
that
not.
I need to have.
Oh, with who?
The GM of Fox Sports last night. Very, oh. Very interested.
Well, yeah, as long as it doesn't cost them a dime.
Well, I think you
who
might
you
want
talk to
talk
to Woodman. Is that who you're talking
yeah.
to? Yeah.
You don't like him?
Anyway,
can we make one of these contracts where we get paid?
Yeah.
Well, that's what I was getting
sooner
at.
Or later.
You do.
It's called your paycheck.
So, hey, Fred, speaking of your Bears,
yeah.
You think they're going to pay Lovey Smith?
You mean extend him? Because he's under contract
speaking
for a year.
Speaking of your Bears.
Yeah. Do you think that I know they like to pay their coaches like $4 an hour to coach.
Well, if you're the Bears front office, are you upset with all this going into the Super Bowl?
But it's not his doing.
It's not his fault. Another team is paying a rookie head coach more than him.
Yes, I am upset, but it's my own fault.
It's right. It's the Bears' fault for not paying him, but it's Jerry Jones. He keeps tampering with other coaches.
Isn't what Jones is doing tampering?
First he says he wants Jeff Fisher when he's still with the Titans. Now he's saying he wants Lovie Smith.
Yeah. I don't hold Jerry Jones blameless, but I'm saying I'm upset with the distractions, but it's my own fault. You can't pay the guy nothing,
right?
Like you try to do.
Well, we'll see. Maybe they'll announce something this week. They'd be smart to do that if they really like him. You know, re-up him now and put an end to it. Let's see. Colin from Connecticut. Before any of the naysayers come on and say how Brady lost the game for us and how the Patriots are just not
too
the
late,
team that they were in this dynasty years, this Patriots team that we saw this year was a great team. They didn't make the Super Bowl like years past, but give them some credit. Rashay Caldwell was a third or fourth receiver, very much like Jabbar Gaffney. They had a total of 844 yards and 2 touchdowns, respectively. They came back this year and amazed most of us with almost career turnarounds. The defense didn't let down all season with the new record in points allowed, but it came down to this one game where the defense wasn't all that spectacular. No Harrison, no Richard Seymour at the end of the game, because for a weak attack, with Bruschi,
some would say you played without Richard Seymour for most of the year.
With Bruschi fighting the flu, it made it easy for Peyton Manning to pick the defense apart. All I know is now they are out, but they will be hungry in the free agent market, and they will do a lot in the draft if not trade. Let's not forget, after all 2002's dismal season, because the best free agent off season in years. That's all for today, guys. Take care and enjoy. Blah blah. All right.
I just think you need to look at the free agents that are out there. It's not a great year.
Right.
It's not like there's 10 guys everyone's going to be after. There's like 4 guys everyone's
right.
going to be after.
And it's top
one
heavy
of them's
and
on your team.
Big drop-offs after the top guys at a bunch of positions.
Let me put it this way. When Tully Bantakane's going to get a substantial contract in the open market, it's a light year for free agents.
Yeah. The only thing is what we talked about earlier. If you look back at that 2003 one, the two major signings were Colvin and Harrison. Well, Harrison wasn't available at this time. You didn't know
right.
that Harrison was going to be a free agent. So maybe someone that proves to be a significant addition winds up being available, and you can maybe make a run at him. But I think
you got to get lucky.
Yeah, well, and then you got to get him too.
Right.
And,
you know, that's what I mean there.
Even
one year after you signed Harrison, he was upset at how much he signed for and wanted a new contract.
Right. But even when you do that, you don't know if you're gonna. We were talking about the talent. Fred said, you know, you got to get some talent. Well, you could go out and sign a guy like Mike Vrabel, you know, who to that stage of his career was really a backup, and it was kind of got him on the cheap, and maybe, you know.
If they do that, then they're done.
But if it turns out to be another Vrabel, you're not done.
If it turns out
that's
being
where the luck,
Chad Brown, Monty Beisel,
exactly,
Barry
yeah,
Gardner,
yeah.
There's a lot that's, more.
No, but
Fred,
there's a
you
lot
need to
more.
Get some
yes.
that's surefire, and then say, you know what, if this one hits,
yeah,
we'll
take we'll a
be
chance
great.
On him.
Like LeVar Arrington was surefire for the Redskins. You just don't know.
Well,
Fred,
let me
all,
ask you a question.
Yes,
you
like
do
LeVar
know that
Arrington
LeVar Arrington, when he's
that's
healthy,
what they need.
Is
yes.
a way
yeah,
better player than Monty Beisel.
For them.
No, he wasn't.
He got hurt.
Wow. He played very well for a couple of years, and then he got hurt.
Fred, let me ask you a question. They haven't won the Super Bowl for 2 years now, okay? So they don't have the luxury of going out and lowballing people anymore and saying, well, you come here, blah, blah, blah. They need to be competitive with their first offers. Our teams are just because, listen, I don't care what any of you guys say. This team has a reputation out there with players. I've heard it too many times not to know that. So if they come out.
Who said
start,
it hasn't?
I don't know if I've ever argued against
I definitely
that.
Haven't.
I'm not necessarily meaning. I didn't mean like you
oh,
two. I meant just
me.
People.
Allison's right. You owe us a lot of apologies.
I just meant like people around. I meant like local people.
Oh,
is what
okay.
I was saying. So they got to start offering. Your first offer needs to be a legitimate contract, or these guys are just going to turn away and look at the other teams like the Broncos and Jets, who are offering tons of money for these guys. Don't you think?
I agree that they've got to get competitive with if they see a guy they want. Right. You're not going to get them anymore.
Well, it's a seller's market this year. And there's money everywhere.
And we're certainly not advocating doing the Washington Redskins where you take the
right.
You target the three or four best guys on the open market and you give them anything they want. No one thinks that's the way to build a team. But, you know, conversely, I don't think it's the way to build a team just getting a bunch of guys at the veteran minimum and putting them all together. It worked in 2001, but it's a hard thing to do. That's what Andy's talking about, the luck factor. More often than not, it's Monty Beisel and guys like that, not Mike Vrabel.
All right, on the phone is Phil from Austin. Phil, how you doing?
Hey, Fred, how are you?
Good.
Well, I was disappointed in the game, but not disappointed in the season. And as we get farther away from Sunday, I feel better and better about that team. And I think they did a good job with what they had.
Well, I mean, I think that it was clearly not a disappointing season because
yeah.
I feel, and some people take this as a derogatory term, but I feel the team overachieved.
I thought
12-4 was very realistic given their schedule. I thought they would win their first-round game. I thought they would lose their second-round game, and they won that second-round game. So the way I look at it is anything they were playing with after that is house money. That doesn't mean I'm not disappointed. I feel like they probably should have won that Colts game and didn't, but...
Yeah.
I also feel like they probably should have lost the San Diego game and didn't either. So I suppose you can look at it either way.
And who knows if it was reversed and you got to play the Colts in Indy on the second round, maybe they beat them and then they lose to San Diego.
That's probably what would have happened because San Diego wouldn't have choked as bad
right.
after with the game under their belt.
And it's tough to win those, as Andy has said, you know, and people agree, it's tough to win those two games on the road in the playoffs. That's why bye teams
especially when you're flying across country. We're still trying to catch up, and we didn't even play a football game last
right.
week.
My question is, I think you guys took a look at the team in the spring and summer, and I think before the season, most of you folks were looking at 11 or 12 wins. I think nobody predicted them to win the Super Bowl.
I did.
Pardon me?
So did I.
I did.
We all picked 12-4.
Nobody relevant picked them to win the Super Bowl.
Well, my question is this, you know, you guys saw some holes in that team early on, and I'm sure that the Patriots management did, too, way back in the summer. And I'm just wondering if you don't think they might have looked at this team, let's say, in early August and said, look, you know, we have a chance like we do every year, but this is not the kind of team we had in 2003 and 2004, so we're going to kind of husband our resources as far as cap dollars kind of really look more towards 2007 and 2008.
Well, they obviously weren't. I mean, Belichick's no idiot. He looked at this
yeah.
roster and knew that I had to do some things. I mean, they brought in Sale. That was desperation, really.
Right.
How would you feel if you found out that they did that?
Because
I would be pretty upset. As a Patriots
too.
Fan, I'd be mad that they didn't do everything they could to try to win.
When you have Tom Brady, you got to do whatever
you
can.
I don't think they would.
Yeah. I mean, you know, looking at the preseason, they had... They had a horrible situation at linebacker, and it's not something that they could have, you know, they couldn't fix that. I mean, they brought in Seau. They signed a couple other free agents that didn't pan out. But, there's only so much they could do, and that was a weakness in the team all year.
You can sign free agents. You can draft some.
Well,
a lot of things you can do.
Well, you could do that last winter, but going into August.
But that's what they went into August with.
Yeah.
That was by choice. It wasn't like they had an unfortunate retirement like they did a couple years ago with Ted Johnson. You know, something unforeseen happened. They decided that they had enough at linebacker.
Well, who was available at linebacker last year that they could have brought in that would have made a difference? Anybody know?
I don't know. There wasn't anyone. D'Amico Ryans wouldn't have been a good choice for them.
There were some guys out there in free agency, too.
Yeah.
I can't remember off the top of my head who they were, but we were talking about them last year, a couple of guys that they could have went after.
Yeah, the Saints brought some guys in to help them.
There's also some guys that have been out there the last year, too. Again, they're supposed to be planning ahead,
right,
so
you
don't
just take
scramble and
season.
Say, whoa, who's out there now? You're supposed to look ahead and sort of plan out where you're going to start to get weak, where you're going to start to get old, and how you need to replenish
well,
that.
They
haven't
up,
done it.
They screwed up with the Deion Branch thing. I mean,
what does that have to do with linebackers?
I think they had money. They had money set to go to him. They didn't end up spending it, and they expected it to go to, and they screwed up.
I agree with you that they expected to sign him.
Right, but that still doesn't answer the linebacker question.
By the time that all this money was freed up, that there was nothing out there that they could spend it on.
I don't know. I just did the draft things. I've been going over the drafts, and The last couple of drafts, all of a sudden they
drafts
don't...
are different. I mean, yeah, maybe but they should have targeted linebackers
maybe
earlier
need,
in the draft.
Maybe you need to
but...
change your philosophy a little bit, knowing that, hey, we got all these picks now, and we need some linebackers.
Yeah.
We don't need Garrett Mills. I can find Garrett Mills on the street if you want me to, all right? Get a linebacker instead that can play.
Yeah, I think part of the problem with the league these days is you're not going to get linebackers in free agency, veteran linebackers like you could, because far fewer teams are in, you know, bad cap situations. And I think the Patriots' defense, it's hard to take a linebacker in the draft and plug him into one.
But you gotta get a linebacker in the draft. You look at one of the most successful teams when it came to bringing up linebackers, the Steelers. It was always guys. Now, they would let them go a lot of times when they hit free agent time, but they always had that stable of linebackers to replenish themselves.
Well, that kind of, you know, the problem was next year then, because
it's a problem.
I think it would be really optimistic to think they could draft the linebacker and plug him in day one on, you know, in Brewski's spot or the other inside linebacker.
Ball's going
spot.
To the big show.
Well, but other teams have done it. You got to at least try. I mean,
D'Amico Ryans, Lofa Tatupu, those guys have stepped in. I mean, there's guys that can play. There's guys who can play. And we're not saying they necessarily had to come in and start day one.
Right.
But get them in your system. Let them learn your system so they can be ready when these guys retire.
Is the Patriots 3-4 that much different from other teams where they can't do that? Should they be able to do that?
I just see every other team that runs the 3-4 has 150 linebackers on their team. I just think it's a joke.
I mean, guys have done it in Cleveland. Guys have done it in Dallas, places where there are similarities.
Yeah, it's linebacker and safety. I think those are the areas where they're good. They're old and they're slow.
And they're very important positions.
Now, there's a lot of questions this offseason. It's going to be very interesting.
Huge offseason.
Yep. That's why Phil and everyone else, you need to stick with us, as well as PFW and Patriots.com, and as things happen, we'll let you know about them.
We'll do it.
All right.
See you, Phil.
Phil from Austin.
Just
thank you.
Fred, to mention for Phil and anyone else who's watching the Senior Bowl, a couple of guys, Andy and I, have been talking about. Patrick Willis, middle linebacker for Mississippi. Last year when I was watching, not this 2 years ago when I was watching Mississippi, they were saying this guy was going to be a big-time pro. So I've been watching him over the last couple of years. Very good player.
Yep.
Outside linebacker, Quentin Moses from Georgia. He was a defensive end in college, 250, very quick off the edge. These are a couple guys that will be playing this Saturday in the Senior Bowl. There's also Buster Davis from Florida State, but I'm afraid people are falling too much in love with him because his name's Buster and he played at Florida State. He's a good player. I don't know how great he is. But
he faces a challenge that he's short.
And he's short.
5'9", Fred.
There's a receiver that people aren't talking about yet from Fresno State, Paul Williams. This guy's going to skyrocket up the draft boards. He's a very good player. He's also in that game.
I'm getting excited already Tom talk about all this
you
stuff.
You might want to I'm sure a lot of Patriot fans will be watching, but watch that Patrick Willis. He's a guy, and of course, our boy Leonard, the white fullback from Rutgers, you can watch him as he'll be a second-round draft pick of the New England Patriots.
And there's other interesting, Carson Palmer's brother, I was watching his drills last night. The guy from Houston, is it Kolb?
Yeah.
Very unimpressive in my mind last night.
A lot of people are split on him.
I thought
some
he was
love
terrible.
Him, some don't like him.
Terrible. But it's actually interesting, and it seems like one of those things that you'd make fun of, or at least I'd make fun of, that the NFL Network is covering practice.
They're doing a
but
phenomenal job.
I think
job.
They're doing a really good job with it, mixing in interviews, practice highlights, analysis from Mayock and Pat Kerwin and some of their guys. I think they're doing a pretty good job with it, and it's especially now when there's nothing on TV.
Right.
It's pretty interesting.
And I got to say, I never thought I'd say this, and it's almost like death to me, but Mike Mayock is better than Mel Kiper. He's the best in the business right now. That guy is phenomenal at analyzing players. He studies them. He played the game. He's really informative. And the way he was, like me and Andy were talking, he was taking Brady Quinn and showing some of the passes he was throwing compared to Tom Brady and Matt Hasselbeck in the NFL and showing what he needs to change for his accuracy to be better. And it was very good stuff you don't see anywhere else.
When can our listeners look forward to some draft stuff on the website?
Soon.
I mean, once we get...
We're collecting our thoughts. We're starting to... We're a little behind from last year. Obviously, you go an extra week. Off-season started later this year. But we're catching up.
But that'll, once we go to the combine and we start seeing some of these guys,
and then we get our video in, we start breaking down the video, we're still doing that.
Well, you should here's what I'll ask you to do. Before you go to the combine, I want you to publish a pre
combine list of your favorites. And then see how that changes once you go to the combine.
And we also have asked fans,
you know, with a caveat, we haven't seen these guys. This is just from hearsay and stuff.
And then we'll do an update.
And then you do an update.
Right. But you also asked the fans, which I thought was a good idea, some players you're interested in for the Patriots. Don't ask us about Troy Smith.
Right.
He's irrelevant to us because he's not coming here.
Right.
But players you think the Patriots might go after are you're interested in.
And even lesser
guys.
Even lesser guys.
Give Andy and Tom a grocery list for when they go, they can
get in
touch with these guys.
Everybody's at the combine.
Right.
You know, Oliver Hoyt. I mean,
so if you got a guy, but if you got a guy, you know, you follow the University of Washington and you think they have this little known, you know, let us know and, you know, we can take a look at him and see what.
Is Paul going?
No. Paul doesn't go.
Paul doesn't
do well. We don't want that miserable SOB at the combine.
Yeah, he probably does want another. He'd fly in for the burger and then leave before the combine started.
Maybe I'll go.
You coming?
I might.
St. Elmo's?
Yeah, why not?
You going to write?
For those of you that are wondering.
I'll tag along with you guys, see what's going on.
If you're going to be there, you need to write a little.
Yeah, you know, the only problem, though, with having Fred at the combine is he's antsy.
Yeah.
And I've got a feeling he's going to get bored after a while. He's going to be standing over us, asking us what we're doing, swaying back and forth. But for those of you that don't know.
All right, I'm going to bed.
For those of you that don't know. After the AFC Championship party, Paul downed a one-pound hamburger, which is basically a steak on a roll, and did it while eating French fries.
And getting an appetizer of buffalo wings before he ate.
And considered dessert.
Well, the funny thing about it is yesterday when Paul was talking about it, I hear Andy and his cubicle go, hey, hey, hey! I was dying.
Actually, the funniest part of this weekend was when Paul said, yeah, right after the Super Bowl, I'm going on a diet. And Fred said, I already started. Now, that was funny.
Well, I don't know why Paul. Why is Paul waiting for the Super Bowl?
Because he wants
to. He eats a lot at the Super Bowl.
Yeah, he eats a lot at the Super Bowl. Plus, I think he wants to have a little week here, so a week or two to enjoy it before he.
Not a good idea. Well, just do it.
Plus,
you got to do it. Just do it.
It'll only last like a week before he gets off of it.
He was on it last year with his soup and
his
sandwich.
It lasted like a week, and then it's chicken parm subs.
You going to McDonald's?
Lunch. Yeah. That's the other thing. He has no willpower.
Hey, hey, hey.
It is what it is.
Gary, you need to get that sound
Gary
bite.
He's not on his A game today. I don't know what's wrong with him.
Get that Fat Albert thing for the next time Paul talks about food. Hey, hey, hey. All right.
Hey, hey, hey. Hey, that's not right.
That's not the right. That's not the good one.
That's a song.
That's
no, the
real one. That's the beginning of Fat Albert.
Yeah, but I want the other one.
Oh,
like the voice, the guy that says it.
Let's see. Justin in Alaska writes in, I'm not a sore loser, but this one hurts. So close to a fourth ring, and I feel our window might be closing.
You got three rings, Justin?
The better team won, 21-3, and everyone at my party was happy except me. I knew this was not a lead, rather an amount of time that we had built up. Could we hold them when the storm came? Answer was no. Like setting that I will exercise New Year's resolution, speaking of Paul, this was an exercise in futility. The Colts won straight up and were the gutsier team, and that hurts. Officiating. I have to say that overall I thought the officiating was fine. Good no call against Hobbs when Wayne tripped in the end zone. There were two obvious officiating blunders. One, the no call on Caldwell in the end zone. That was clearly a defensive pass interference. The official was staring right at it. How could he not call that? As a fellow football referee, I know we don't see them all, but come on. And two, roughing the passer.
That was awful.
Maybe there was something I didn't see, but that extra 15 yards was painful.
Man, that was I didn't see it until the next day because no one had seen it for some reason. We didn't know. And
everyone was looking downfield.
When they showed that, when I watched the game on TV and they came back from commercial and showed the replay, I said to Allison, I said, you have got to be kidding me. That is about as bad as in a game of this magnitude, that's what you're calling at this point? Awful.
Wore our ass out. I think the bottom line is that the Colts just wore our hind ends out in the second half. Hobbs and Samuel, I thought, played well, but with limited pressure on Manning, no one can hold up forever. Rosie out, Seymour on one-quarter speed. Hawkins, who knows what happened to him, fatigue. So now questions. One, why do you think so many defensive starters were missing midway through the third quarter? I think it's a combination of things.
Yeah. It was injuries, flu, fatigue, cramping, all of it. Yeah, there were different reasons.
Two, Do we think the offensive play calling was missing the running game in the second half?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Were the Colts shutting us down, or were we just trying to build up that lead fast?
Can't shut down five rushes.
Right.
I mean, if you had 12 attempts for 13 yards, we could say, well, it was the Colts. Five attempts. You can't judge anything from that.
Three, where the heck was Maroney during the playoffs?
I just got to think he wasn't healthy, because he didn't really do anything to – you know, to get in the doghouse, did he? Like, throughout the year?
I've been told that he has been bothered by injury ever since.
Yeah, I was told that injury that he has, I know fans think these guys are superhuman, but just think about it. When you have torn rib cartilage as a running back, and you have to, you know, expand your arms and move up and get hit there, that hurts.
Right.
Alex Pelletier from Montreal thinks Paul is the man.
Okay.
He says,
well, I got no problem with people thinking someone other than Tom's the man, but is it really Paul that's next on the list? Come on, it's me, then Fred, then Paul.
At least you put me first. I appreciate that.
Let's see.
People's champ.
He says it's a disappointing loss. I guess the Chargers game just wore down the Pats' fatigue. Clearly set in during the second half, especially on the defensive side. What was with all those draw plays, though? They seem completely ineffective, yet we're still being called pretty late in the game.
Well, they actually worked in the first half.
With Falk.
With Falk, yeah.
Yeah.
And then they kind of...
They always work with Falk for some reason.
For some reason.
They were obviously trying to exploit the Colts' bad run defense, but still, it clearly wasn't working. Now I'm going to have to deal with all my Patriots-hating friends. It's amazing how even here in the land of the Canadian Football League, so many people hate the Pats. Interesting. When I finish this, I'll get to Jamie in Houston.
You can
hold
wait,
on.
Jamie.
Nonetheless, I think this is a team that overachieved this year, and the future is bright with two first-round draft picks. I think the Super Bowl will be an exciting game, seeing as how the Bears look pretty impressive on Sunday, and I think we'll give Indianapolis a real run for the money. I would like to mention that I'm a new fan and that I really became a hardcore Patriots lover in large part due to the easy accessibility of all the press conferences and other great features such as your show on the website. So, thanks for providing us with an excellent program, and keep up the good work.
I got to tell you, the fans are like writing my case for my review today. Fred, remember all this when we come in looking for raises?
You mean all the stuff that I've initiated that I've allowed you to do?
But that we've enacted to a high quality that fans love.
And just remember, Fred, I'm the one who always says that you're the brains behind this whole
thing. You are.
All right,
and I know you make a lot of money. Now we need to make a lot of money.
Jamie in Houston's on the line. Jamie, how you doing?
Well, I'm recovering, guys. I'm sure there's much to be said for all of us.
Well,
especially Fred, just hasn't been the same.
Get out, Paulie. Did you hit the Bears a little hard?
Jamie, I have to tell you, Paul's gone.
Paul left. Sorry,
he went to the big show, the sports radio show. Here.
We've lost the fat man, and we're running lead.
He's even fatter after this weekend.
What else, Jamie?
I thought the last emailer was right on the money with we overachieved this year, and you know, nobody gave us credit. You know, with the patch, you know, we've had the patchwork defense in the past. We had the patchwork offense. You know, the team made it work as best they could. A lot of people, you know, were writing us off when we had the, you know, the losses with the Jets and the Dolphins pretty close together late in the year. Nobody, you know, would have even given us a chance to get as far as we did. So, you know, we did pretty darn good, and we were there. We ran out of gas. And I think, Andy, you mentioned it, or maybe it was Tom, we talked about, we look back or it was Paul, we look back 5 years from now, this is one we probably should have gotten, but maybe this is payback for 2001, where nobody, you know, everybody, even including Bill, thought that 2001 championship was a reach. So maybe it's karma getting even.
Well, Jamie, as a fan, are you kind of a little bit tired of saying the Patriots overachieved? Would you like to go into next season or a season in the future saying, wow, this team's loaded,
right?
They're stacked, they're the favorite to win? Would you know?
Oh, I'm waiting for that to happen. Will it, you know? And hopefully, I think you all agree, too, that we got to franchise Asante. We got to do something. We can't necessarily pay him the stupid money, but I think he showed everybody that, you know, he earned it in that game and made, you know, came up big in a big game against big players.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's Jamie in Houston.
Jamie, we'll talk to you.
Fred, let me ask you a question, all right?
When I was 14.
Okay, I know. You always say that.
And it's never funny.
Dan Marino. He left Miami, right, a long time ago?
He might live there now.
He left the Dolphins.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
They've never replaced him.
They've never been able to recover. No.
Troy Aikman, never been replaced.
Right.
Jim Kelly,
never been replaced.
John Elway, never been replaced.
Never been replaced.
Okay,
correct.
Now Montana leaves. Young, Garcia were good quarterbacks, but they were never Montana. You never, ever
going
to have another Tom Brady.
No, this is your window. This
and
is when you got
to
do it.
That's why I think that if you have to spend a little bit more to win Super Bowls now, when Brady leaves, you can live with that.
Sounds like a commentary for the next PFW, Tom.
I don't do commentaries. Tell Andy.
You can do it. That's a good one.
I just feel that, hey, 4 years from now, if you're a little cap strapped because you won two more Super Bowls under Tom Brady,
right.
I can sleep at night knowing that.
Yeah.
I just say you do what you can when you got Tom Brady as your quarterback.
But I can't argue with that.
It's a little hard to argue to me because they should have won on Sunday. They should be fighting the Bears for another Super Bowl.
Yeah,
that's,
but one of the reasons
don't you think they should have lost the week before.
But
though?
One of the reasons why they may have not have is because they didn't have the firepower when they had that lead to keep the lead.
But I just think it's hard to argue. And to me, the biggest question comes down to when, and I don't call it arrogance because that gets thrown out a lot, but is Bill Belichick the coach and Bill Belichick the GM, does the GM put a little too much confidence in the coach?
I think.
To just coach him up and reshape call. And he did it again.
He did it again. I know, but Pioli made a statement a few weeks ago when the whole Giants thing was up there, and it might have been before that, but he made the statement, we have a pretty good idea what it takes to win in this league. And I know that they don't feel like it's just gathering talent.
Right.
It's, you know, and they've said it's the right 53. Right. They feel that they need that guys are going to get hurt. You know you're going to have attrition. You got to have depth. And you got to have versatile depth, guys that can do different things. And in order to afford that, you can't have, you know, teams with all that money at the top will win occasionally. But in order to be successful year after year after year, you can't do it that way. They believe that, and they've yet to be proven wrong.
Right,
they
haven't won the Super Bowl in 2 years.
I'm talking specifically with the receivers.
What are you saying, that you have to win the Super Bowl every year in order to be right there?
No, but the argument is you have the quarterback and coach in place to win the Super Bowl every year right now.
But you're not going to. There's just too many things out of your control.
But the argument Tom's making, and there's an argument, there's a debate, is that if they had signed Deion Branch to what he wanted, would they have won this year? Maybe.
Maybe not.
But maybe
he gets hurt halfway through.
But
there's just too,
well, you can say that about
point,
anything.
I know, but my point is there's just too many things.
Then God forbid you'd sign Jabbar Gasney midseason.
Many,
oh, wait, you already did that.
There's too many things in this business to beyond your control. You have to have a team full of guys.
But you also, you also have to have plan Bs. Now, Branch didn't work.
They screwed up on Branch.
But the Eagles got Dante Stallworth for a song and dance, Fred.
Right.
Why not?
If they had known that they weren't going to get Branch, I think they would have either Javon Walker or Stallworth made
but
up.
Stallworth
made up,
happened after they knew that they figured at that point he's not coming back.
I think it was too late, Tom.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't after they traded him, but it was at the point where they figured, boy, this is getting ugly.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I just think if you have Brady, you do what you can to give him some weapons. They don't have to bring in Randy Moss. They don't have to bring in Terrell Owens. I'm just saying, they have to have a guy like Deion Branch. Yeah, someone like that.
I can't argue with that. I can't. Let's see. Jason writes in, I've deemed January 21st, 2007, Black Sunday. I'm always a little disappointed and bummed out when the football season is
over. Could read that
over.
Two ways, by the way.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know the Colts and Bears one.
Yeah. Tony will remind you of that. It's over, but that one is going to sting for a while. It's too bad the way the season ended. But if you look at the game closely, I think the ref calls, the drop passes, the quirky touchdowns by offensive linemen pretty much evened out in the end.
Yep.
It came down to the banged-up entire defense of the Patriots, and they just couldn't get enough stops in the second half. San Diego took it all out of them. Even still, Tom Brady, 54 seconds left, two timeouts. I'll take those odds. But the Colts' defense came up big, and if we got to go down, at least it was with our best player throwing the final pass as opposed to another questionable call, drop pass, or fumble. The only thing that I was really surprised about was our running game in the second half. Our defense sure could have used a rest. To the offseason, They probably are going to have to replace a few old guys in defense like Rodney and maybe Teddy, but other than that, they have a good mix of youth and veteran talent on both sides of the ball and two first-round draft picks. With Bill Belichick and Scott Pioli and Tom Brady back next year, I don't think this is the end of the dynasty just yet.
Well, that was a good email, but there's one thing I'll say is you said you liked having the ball in Tom Brady's hands. I would have liked to have him had the ball on 3rd and 10 with the game on the line, too, with 4 minutes to go. That was my argument. And the other thing, and boy, I really hate to get on this guy because I really like him, but I think Artrell Hawkins may be a better backup than a starter, a safety, because against, like, these two games against the Colts, and when they play some explosive teams, I see him trailing a lot in the open field. And I think he's a very smart player. I think he's a very disciplined player, and he gets the most out of his ability. But would you guys agree he may be a better backup guy than an every week starter?
I agree.
That was the plan.
Yeah.
Right, I know Wilson
ideally he was coming off the bench to fill that fifth defensive back role, be a backup and all that, and he kind of got forced into
it. I mean, definitely a guy I'd want on my team, but I don't think I'd want him starting every week.
Mike writes in, Mike Gerken, the pickle guy.
Pickle guy.
I had a few days to let the sting of defeat settle in, and I think I'm ready to accept things and move on. I wanted to thank you guys for doing the radio show throughout the season. As someone who doesn't live in the area, you guys are my only link to the team on an everyday basis. I appreciate the unbiased opinions, mostly. You guys give along with the humor that you are able to bring. I know it must be hard to talk Patriots football day in and day out, but you guys do a great job. I have a question, or maybe actually a request for this offseason. Last year, you guys did a great job talking about possible draft picks for the Patriots. The one thing I was hoping for would be if you could post some of the prospect video that you guys get. That is one of the hardest things to come by, and I remember you guys repeatedly talking about watching video that was sent to you guys. The more info you can pass along, the better.
Are we allowed to post that?
I don't think we can do that, can we?
I think we did. NFL
Network posts like...
No, but also if you watch Patriots video new or Patriots Today, they had clips of guys.
But I think he's talking about the stuff we watch. I don't think we're allowed to do that.
Yeah, so you'll see portions of it in Patriots Today and different things, but you might not see all the raw stuff we see.
See, we're not allowed to use that for promotional reasons or, you could make an argument that by putting it on our site, we're trying to attract fans, which of course we are, and that's not why we have to pay for that stuff, and it's a usage. It has everything to do with usage. So, but we'll try to relay as much as we can. Let's see, Dermot writes in. He's from Dublin, Ireland, not Indiana, or some other slack-jawed, monkey-infested hellhole. What?
I thought that was Ireland.
He says, Andy Hart is a little girl with a very big head and a teeny wee body. A wee body.
I agree.
If we are to believe what Stewie from Family Guy, Andy Hart says, then no. 87's real name must be Rashe Caldwell. What does that mean?
He said Rashe O'Caldwell.
Rashe O'Caldwell. Oh. As in, he must have stopped off at a bar on the way to the RCA Dome and had a couple of pints of Guinness before getting suited up.
Well, no, because he has good taste, so he would never drink Guinness, you lush.
Mother of God. The only way I could figure that he dropped both of those catches was that he was drunk. At least he better have been, because there's no way a sober person with at least 5 functioning brain cells could have dropped them otherwise. Anyway, I'm too depressed to take any more shots at Andy
for a
couple of weeks, so I'm off to get drunk, just like Rochelle did on Sunday. Only difference is I'm going to start drinking after the game.
Come on, you start drinking when you wake up, you lush.
Oh, that's terrible.
Have a few potatoes first, though, just to get a little something in your stomach before you pour that gross motor oil down your
that's
throat.
That's terrible, Andy. You got to stop that. That's not good.
What's the bad word to call Irish people?
We don't do that. Al.
Tom God, we don't know that.
Al writes in. He says, subject, you're not a man, you're a bishop, for God's sake. That's from Caddyshack. Mm-hmm. Guys, two words, clock management. We had the ball with 3:22 to go. We were in pretty good field position. And I'm thinking, even if we don't gain a single inch, then this game will probably end like Super Bowl 39 against the Eagles had ended, where we had held on to a 3-point lead late. Or, at the very worst, the Colts will only have time to tie and force overtime. The 5-yard huddle violation, while the clock was stopped on the change of possession, did not have to make any difference.
run the ball, use clock, and or force the Colts to burn their last two timeouts on defense. Now remember, in that situation, the Pats could run three plays, and the Colts only had two timeouts remaining as they had lost a timeout earlier on a challenge. So at the very worst, you can punt the ball right at the two-minute warning with the Colts depleted of timeouts and little of no chance to stop the clock would stop again. Well, no. The Colts somehow got the ball back with 2:17 and a timeout left. Instead of getting the ball...
And it took them 16 seconds to get down to the 20.
Yeah. Instead of getting the ball with no assurance the clock would stop again, the Colts could count on the clock stopping twice. I knew right then and right there, not only were the Colts in a position to tie late, but win. Usually the Pats are masters at situational football, but this time they allowed the situation to get out of control. I'll check in the draft. I don't know what that
at
is.
The draft.
Well, I agree that there was some clock management issues, but I don't know if that was one of them, because if he's saying, well, you give the Colts the ball back with a minute 50 left, it would have made no difference. They scored in a minute 17. That's how long it took them to score that touchdown, and it only took them that long because they ran two plays after they got down there. I think if you give the Colts the ball back with a minute and a half, you guaranteed 3 points the way they were moving the football, unless they turn it over. So I'm not sure right there was the issue. I think when the Patriots got the ball back or those last couple of runs is where you wanted to use the Patriots.
How many times in the past, though, have we seen 3 minutes or so, Patriots get the ball, and they get that first down, and that's it.
But they didn't run Heath Evans up the middle.
I know. I'm just saying. It's just
they're always aggressive. They always go for your throat. And for some reason, they didn't do it. And I still don't know why that is.
Ron in Tennessee, I'm sure for every football fan out there except Patriots fans, that was a very exciting and entertaining game. Unfortunately, as a Pats fan, that second half was like the death of a thousand cuts. The most amazing thing about this game is that even though our defense was clearly out of gas for the entire second half, we still had a chance to win the game on both sides of the ball. Unfortunately, the offense could not convert that third and four, and the defense could not come up with one more stop. The one positive thing that I hope comes out of this horrible loss is that I hope it finally forces this team to address its glaring deficiencies at both the linebacker and safety positions. Once Manning stopped going deep and challenging our corners, who, by the way, played a great game, the lack of speed on our defense was obvious. Whether it was running backs coming out of the backfield or tight ends running around wide open, it was clear that this team needs to get younger and faster, especially at linebacker. Here's to Brady for doing more with less, a successful 2006 season, no matter what other spoil fans may think, and on to the draft. I think that's a good email.
Mm-hmm. Word.
You know? Let's see. More emails coming in. Wow.
Webradiopatriots.com. Webradiopatriots.com.
You got to say it twice.
Yeah.
Matt writes in, it's interesting to listen to the fans talk about their disappointment with this season. It goes to show you how far the Pats have come. They go to the AFC Championship game, and it's a letdown. The bottom line is, flu bug aside, they got beat by a better team, even if the Colts were only better on that day. It was a great season. What does BSP mean, Gary? BSP semicolon? Anyway, that's what
he
wrote.
I have no idea.
Give me a team that's in the mix every season. That's all I ask. It is not our birthright to win it all every year. The tough losses are what make the big win so special. Say what you want about the Colts. Polian's a jackass, but we hate them because they're good, the same reason the Colts hate the Pats. And I don't care what anyone says. Peyton is a great player and a class act. Dungy is everything that's good about the game, and Sanders scares me the way Gary Sheffield does when he comes to bat. This is what makes the rivalry so special right now. Having said all that, I hope the Bears kick their collective asses. I'll be rooting for the Bears, but I think the Colts are going to win that game.
Yeah.
I'm rooting for a good game.
Yeah.
When
yeah.
It's always
let
neutral,
me tell you something.
Looking for a good game.
After last year's game, I'm just rooting for a Pop Warner game, because that's the worst Super Bowl I've ever seen with my own eyes. That was just abysmal play on both sides of the ball.
Kyle writes in, not our Kyle.
Thank God.
He's from Wakefield, New Hampshire.
It would be unreadable if it was our Kyle.
First, I want to say you guys do a great job. Yes, even you, Fred.
There you go.
Kyle, we love your email.
You got yourself a fan.
I listen to you every day on my way back to school. Anyways, I know we're all still bummed about the Colts game, but looking ahead, I've been thinking, I think we're pretty filled with good young talent across the board. I mean, Brady, Maroney, young receivers, offensive line, defensive line, secondary. I think especially highly of Gostkowski. I think he showed me a lot this season. Obviously, our linebacking core is pretty old, though. if you guys could just talk about what areas you think need the most work going into 07.
Well, you mentioned two of them that you thought were good, receiver and secondary.
Well, it is nice that we're not going to have to spend a draft pick on our kicker this year.
Yeah.
We've got
that
one.
Is nice.
But definitely receiver. Well, you know what, Andy? I got to be honest. When we go down to the combine, we're going to be looking at the same exact positions we looked at last year.
Yep.
Especially if Dylan doesn't come back, because we were looking at running back last year, and if they lose Dylan, they got to get another running back somewhere. Defensive back, linebacker, receivers.
The only thing I would say with the running back is my guess is if Dylan retires, they look for a veteran.
Yeah, but I think maybe somebody. A middle-round draft. I'm not saying first two rounds.
Well,
maybe
the thing
one
you need to be looking
guys.
For is another back to stick around when Falk and Dylan are gone as a maybe a tweener backup.
I think that's what they would go
down
after.
Type.
Yeah, the pass-catching type of guy.
But I would expect if Dylan retires that they find a veteran free agent to bring in here.
I
maybe
agree.
A guy that has some upside, has some injuries or something, you know, catch lightning in a bottle, you know, a Mike Anderson like the Ravens signed last year, something like that.
Remember Sawyer from Waterloo, Iowa? He was at the game. I didn't see him, though. Did you guys look over the ledge to see if you could see him?
We didn't see one Patriot fan in that entire place.
Anyway, he says, where were you guys? We were there.
Was he wearing a Bledsoe jersey?
I don't know. He says, aside from the outcome, we couldn't have asked for a better game to go to. The energy in that dome was indescribable.
Yes.
Even though we were on the losing end, it was pretty cool experience when Brady was intercepted and 57,000 people realized that they were finally going to the Super Bowl. I mean, as loud as it was, do you remember how like it went up that notch when that happened? It was like my
was
ears
amazing.
Were like ringing.
The whole place was shaking.
Rocking. Yeah, the whole press box was moving. I didn't really love that. I don't like it when it moves.
I must say that it was neat to see the vast majority of fans wearing jerseys. I'm sure that more Patriot fans would have jerseys if we sold them for $40 as well. Are they sell them for $40?
You've reached the desk of Ken Brand at Gillette Stadium.
I don't know. I would be shocked.
You should talk to Ken about that.
I thought
those are the replicas. How much are the replicas? Like $50?
60.
Yeah.
Here.
So.
Yeah.
But the NFL doesn't set prices on that kind of stuff? Officially licensed jerseys and things?
I don't know. I would like
we allow Ken Flanders to set his own price. That doesn't sound
you know
like
what,
a wise
though,
strategy.
You know what? Even if it is a difference, it's $20. Go buy yourself a replica jersey if you're a big fan.
Plus, you make more money up here than you do in there, do you? Or don't you?
I don't know. What do you mean you make more money up here?
In Boston. Isn't like the cost of living, isn't everything more expensive?
Oh, yeah.
Up here
than
it is down there?
Oh, you mean as a your salary you make more money.
Right.
Yes.
So relatively, things are more expensive.
Cost of
you're
living,
making more money, but then
I would like to point out that all the fans that we ran into and sat by were nice people. They all wished us good luck before the game and were sincerely wishing us safe travels on our 7-hour trip home after the game. I guess there were a couple of Steeler fans near where we sat for last year's AFC Championship game that were being incredibly rude. But for the Indy fans
Shocker.
That we met, I hope they can celebrate again in 2 weeks. And here's my thoughts for the game. One, I thought Alexander did a respectable job being thrust into the starting role for such a big game. He put on some big hits. I didn't realize Tully had such a bad game last week.
First of all, Alexander had a terrible game.
But it's not his fault.
Watching it over on TV, he was bad in coverage. The Colts realized he was in the game. At halftime, they made adjustments, ran the ball right at him, and swallowed him. So I just think if you look at the tackles, he got a lot of tackles, but they were jumping on the pile, 20-yard down the field kind of tackles. They weren't in the hole, in the backfield tackles.
Two, I'm getting tired of Maroney dancing around. It seems like he's getting himself out of position by dancing and in turn getting tackled for losses. He's got to learn to just hit it.
You know what,
when he finds out how much he can get by hitting it, then you can start your little dance. But he's got to learn what he can get by just hitting the crease.
I agree with you, though. I think a lot of the dancing stuff came during the year from the limited touches. I think once he realizes he's going to carry it 25 times and you can go into halftime with 10 carries for 22 yards, knowing that I'm going to get it 15 more times, I think that kind of stuff may stop.
It's got to stop. Three, it seemed clear to me that Hobbs got an earful after the Chargers game about being so cocky. It was nice to see him having a great game and a beautiful run back to the 20 and not going crazy afterwards.
I don't think he got an earful for too much. And even if he did.
And I did see him go crazy.
He did have a good game. You got to give
him a great game.
That play on Wayne in the middle of the end zone on the deep ball was a tremendous play.
Yeah.
But I just think Ellis Hobbs is what he is at this point in his career. He's a pretty cocky guy.
Well, as long as he keeps, improving, let him be who he is. Let Ellis be Ellis. Four, I didn't see it, but apparently Belichick snuffed, I think he meant snubbed, Manning
although I don't agree with his actions, I'm glad to see he still has a passion for the game.
That was overrated.
Yeah, he didn't snub him. Well, here, you know what the problem was? He, like, patted Manning, and Manning did want to say something to Belichick, but I don't think he heard him because the place was so freaking loud I couldn't even hear Andy. I think he turned to say something to him. Belichick kept walking because he didn't hear him, and it looks like that he snubbed him.
And
he didn't snub him.
It's one of those things you get caught a little off guard unless you're really focused on finding a specific guy.
Yeah, Manning was probably going to lean down and say congratulations on a great season or something, but Belichick didn't hear him. But listen, the guy
probably say I'll see you at the Pro Bowl.
The guy didn't only... I mean, he embraced Tony Dungy like he was his long-lost brother. This isn't... Bill does some stupid things, but this wasn't one of those times.
Right.
Everything he did was fine.
Five, freaking Dan Klecko. One of you guys called it. Who
Dan
blew
Klecko.
That play? They just ran the exact same play a couple weeks ago.
Patriots blew the play. I heard Bill
it was
say
Tully Bantakane.
He blew the coverage?
Yeah, he's the one that had him and then let him go.
Because Bill just said flat out, we blew that coverage.
I rewinded it five times to get the number. It was 95.
Five, was there any taunting by the Colts after the game?
None.
None.
The Colts, like he said, the fans and the players were all full of class. I'll give you a hint. There was one person who wasn't in the Colts organization. You get one guess.
And he's not a player.
No.
Don't talk to me.
And by the way.
No, it wasn't Adam.
The Patriots were, I thought, very classy in defeat as well. They all said they beat us. We ran out of gas. They deserved to be in the Super Bowl. They made more plays at the end than we did. All of it.
I think they respected each other for being in such a great game. And
well, you know what it was? It was like one of those lame TV movie boxing matches where they go punch for punch for 12 rounds and then hug afterwards.
Right.
They did. It was a great game.
I want dirtiness. Seven, is there any place to get a copy of the game since we had no CBS? Or will it be on the Three Games to a Heartbreak Loss DVD set?
Well, it's on tonight on the NFL Network at 8
the
replay.
It's not
the
full game, but it's
but you get to see
basically the full game.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty close.
I'll
plus, otherwise, check the internet. I'm sure it's available somewhere.
I'll miss your daily broadcast next year. How about having full weeks of broadcasts after the last game?
How about you shut the hell up? No, thanks. We need to move on. As we said, we're behind in our preparation for the draft and the combine.
Let's see. Vinny writes in. This is from your faithful listener. A couple of questions. Regarding a loss to the Colts. One, what happened to Corey Dillon? Why wasn't he utilized more since Maroney was not getting anywhere?
You'd have to ask Bill.
But Maroney wasn't being utilized really either. After those, I know No, it's just, I know Maroney wasn't effective in his last couple of carries, but Dillon wasn't even on the field. I don't know. You're going to have to ask Bill this one. I have no idea.
Two, don't you think that having Branch would have made a difference since Caldwell could not catch one single ball?
I think it would have made a difference for the entire year because Deion Branch is better than Rashay Caldwell.
Right.
So.
But who would have thought, though, that Caldwell would have those two drops? I mean, the one drop they made up
because
they ended up scoring, but that other drop. I mean, not only was he open before the snap, and he knew he was open, he was ready to catch it.
Right.
It wasn't like he wasn't prepared to catch it. The ball was right in his breadbasket.
It just happened.
Oh, my God.
Sometimes it just happens.
I just hope he can rebound from that.
But it happened twice in the same game.
It's kind of like the Tony Romo thing where you choked in a big game and you're hoping, geez, I hope he can come back from
and
that.
And boy, did fans turn on him because we got probably five or six emails making fun of his eyes after the game
that. They really did turn on him.
It's too bad because he had a good year. I mean, he's not supposed to be this great number one.
I feel bad when guys... that happened to guys.
Right.
I really do
and
feel
he,
bad for
I got to tell you, I was a little put off. He never wanted to talk in camp. He seemed like a little cranky. But he, as the year went on, he was more open in the locker room. I thought, pretty decent guy. I definitely don't wish anybody to be making fun of his eyes. And the other thing is, weren't about a month ago we making fun of Deion Branch here on this radio program? No, not us. The fans. Emailing in how many drops he'd had in the previous two games and how bad he was. Oh, now we want him back? That's funny how that works.
Three, what happened to our defense? Advice for Belichick, keep Asante. Don't let everybody go to our rival teams, and you guys are great.
That's a big one, though, too, because we talk about losing them, but you hear a couple of the teams in the mix are the Jets and Denver.
Broncos.
Those are teams you're going to be fighting with next year to get back to the Super Bowl. If you lose Samuel, there's a good chance you lose him to a rival.
If the Broncos sign Asante Samuel, I'm making them the favorite to win the Super Bowl immediately.
Well, you're not going to throw the ball for 10 yards against that team.
Immediately with Jim Bates as their assistant head coach. I love what they're doing out there in Denver.
I heard Jim Bates is on the Cowboys list.
Oh, he's only going to be in Denver for a week? I liked him a lot.
I don't think he's going to get the job. He's just a guy on the list.
I like him.
Let's see. Sean McLaughlin, We could sit here for hours and hours saying why and how the Patriots lost the game. The bottom line, the Colts made the plays. The Pats did not. The better team won the game. No ref-blown calls cost us the game.
True.
The Patriots cost the Patriots the game. With that being said, the beginning of the year, I said the team was going to be 12-4 and be in the AFC title game. I say that having the ball with a chance to win the game in the end of a conference championship game is a successful season. We have the next 32 Wednesdays to discuss draft, free agency, retirement, and contract squabble. I'm more sad that the football season's over, and that is what makes the NFL the best game in the entire world. I'm not a fan of baseball, that sport that is called the NBA now, or hockey, or this overblown thing they call NASCAR. March Madness is good, but it does none of... none of it compares to the 16 weeks. And for us, Pats fans, we have been fortunate to have 19 great weeks of enjoyment. Fans, the loss is tough, but it could be worse. We could be back to the Rod Rust days. Don't take these years for granted. They may be gone before you know it. So there's Sean with a little pick-me-up to the fans.
And some definite shots at every other sport that's out there. Wow.
Well, I think he's right.
Come on. You don't get any joy out of any other sport.
Compared to football, not even close.
Well, it's different. But you don't. Baseball? You don't like following baseball?
No, I don't, really.
At all?
Nope. When the Red Sox get in the playoffs, I'll watch. That's it.
And NASCAR. I mean, NASCAR. I don't get it, but
although I'll
a
tell
lot
you,
of people
I'll,
do.
One thing I do like watching is that Daytona 500 with the camera angles they have and everything. It's pretty interesting. It really is.
I've always said if they could condense the beginning of the race and the end of the race into a half-hour show, I'd watch it every week.
Yeah, it's not bad. You know, just from a production standpoint, but, you know, to be a fan of NASCAR,
it's
come
just
on.
So
and
long.
Then NBA, I just can't handle that. NHL, I was never a big hockey fan. I watch tennis if there's a good match on. I'll watch the majors for golf if that's on.
But none
Olympics,
of them.
I like watching the Olympics.
But none of them, I'll agree, are appointment TV where you set up and say, you know, Sunday at 1, I'm going to be on my couch watching the game.
No, it's football.
None of them
that
do
March
that.
Madness.
Football, college football, pro football. And March Madness is good.
March Madness, yes, because then you just do it at work in Paul's office and say, we're meeting about the next issue.
Or you take 2 days off like I do.
Neil writes in, thanks for another great season of programming. Excellent, informative, and with humor, too. What more can we fans ask for? Tom, more than ever, I'm looking forward to your draft specials.
We're starting on it this week. We got the Senior Bowl going.
Well, what we should, yeah, I mean, when you guys come back, obviously the Wednesday after will be all draft talk, I'm sure, and you know,
maybe the combine.
Maybe we should schedule before our, you know, weekend extravaganza that we do during the draft. Maybe we'll do a draft radio show.
Oh, most of our radio shows in that time become draft, and then we also do the. Don't we do the podcasts?
Yeah, we do the draft podcast.
Draft podcasts,
that's right,
previews, positions,
that.
Different things. So
when do we start that up?
It'll be on the.
I don't know.
March. You guys got to get this going.
Who's
Come
the
on.
Podcast manager?
Fred, I'm.
But she doesn't know. You got to tell her when you're going to start the shows. Let's
I
go.
I already got a notebook with players'
I
names
she was
in it.
Well, let's go. Let's get that going. So we can add it to the list.
You start it, and I'll come down here and talk.
We do join Dick for a little while.
Yeah.
All right, Neil says, a very disappointing end to the season in a game in which the Patriots played the most unpatriot-like football I have seen in the Belichick era. However, all things considered, this was a major successful season. With the talent we had to get to the championship game, it was fantastic. I know it's no consolation, but the game will go down as an all-time classic. To me, this game was where the receiver situation killed us. Caldwell is at best a third receiver. He catches with his body, not his hands, as the top receivers do. It is a crime that Brady does not have better playmakers at receiver than he does now, E-minus for the team's planning in that position. I think the next season will be the organization's biggest challenge in many years. There are so many personnel issues to resolve. We need at least two linebackers, two wide receivers, a safety, a corner, and as much as I like the draft, let's be frank, you are lucky if you hit on a player who has an immediate impact. Everyone seems down on Chad Jackson, but to be fair, very few receivers make a big impact in their first
That's
year.
That's not the reason we're down, though.
Right.
We're down because the guy couldn't get on the field. And even like, we give the perfect example, Santonio Holmes. He struggled for the first half of the year. Second half, you saw him starting to get it a little
right.
bit. They go to him. We're disappointed because in the biggest games of the year, they didn't even feel that Chad Jackson belonged on the field.
Plus, he's not going up against
great receivers. That
he
would
was
keep
on the bench
down.
When Kelvin Kite and Bam Childress were
This
out
was
there.
The perfect opportunity for a wide receiver to come into.
Right. There's no Hines Ward on the New England Patriots roster that yeah. he had to beat out for catches.
What do you feel we can do or have to do at receiver, linebacker, and secondary? Any of the following coming to Gillette? And he named some names. Adalius Thomas, Lance Briggs, or Cato June for linebacker.
No.
Drew Bennett, Patrick Creighton, or Ernest Wolford at receiver.
I don't think Creighton's going anywhere. Maybe Drew Bennett. He's a waste of my time.
Yeah. Nate Clements, Ken Hamlin, or Nick Harper in the secondary.
It's kind of early. We're just getting into all this stuff, so we have to take a look at this. You know, it's hard to tell you that Ken Hamlin's coming here. I don't know what the cap situation is there. I don't think it's good, but if they want him back, right. Who knows right now?
And the only thing I'll say is it's a key off season. There is a ton of needs, but the good thing is they can do whatever they want to do. They have the draft
yep.
picks and they have the money.
And
now you just need to make the right decisions.
I'll give you the name of one guy who probably won't make it here, but if, just in case he slips, safety Reggie Nelson from Florida. He's the best college safety since Ed Reed. The guy's all over the place. He's known as the eraser, not just for his hits. He's the kind of safety I'm always complaining about. Andy always makes fun of me. He's the kind of safety I like. When a ball's thrown, he's there. Belichick would have him in the Pro Bowl in 2 years, Reggie Nelson. But the problem is he's going to be a top 10 to 12 pick, and you would have to probably move up to get him. They probably won't, but he's a phenomenal football player.
Let's see. Louis writes in, subject, Andy sucks. Anyway, he says, finally.
Way to go, Louis.
Rashay Caldwell turned into a pumpkin, but what did you expect? Crunch time is when players earn their money. That drop pass when he was wide open was a killer, but it's also a telltale sign that the Colts are not a Super Bowl caliber team. I heard Jeremy Green from ESPN say that Caldwell showed how afraid he was. No, my man, they're always that. He misplaced his power glue in the lens washing solution. Wow.
So really what happened that. All year when we were saying that Caldwell was an average receiver and the fans were yelling at
right.
us how good he was?
Right.
What happened to those emailers now?
And by the way, the Colts are a Super Bowl team because they're in the Super Bowl.
Right. And they played one of the best games of all time.
Right.
When you win one of the best games of all time, that's pretty good.
Alejandro from Bogota says it was a weird end for a weird game of a weird season. From the first snap way back in September, which was a strip sack, you could tell this was not the year. I think this team did a lot with the talent they had, and I expect them to get better via the draft and free agency. Do you foresee any big move at the linebacker receiving positions? Congratulations, guys, on a job well done through the entire season, and I'll keep chiming in on Wednesdays.
Yes.
Well, there'll be movement.
We just don't know exactly what it's going to be, but there's going to be turnover change. I mean, do you really count on Jabbar Gaffney as being – I mean – Yeah, he had a couple nice playoff games, but do you count on him being your number two receiver
right,
all next year?
That's a joke.
You can't go into next season saying those are your top two receivers.
We didn't really talk about Bill Parcells retiring, but one of our emails says, people accuse T.O. as an example of selfishness, but what about Bill Parcells?
Thank
His timing
you.
Of retiring is superb, wanting to grab as much headlines
you got
as
it.
He possibly can. What a jerk. And let's wait and see what number four in Green Bay is going to say. My gut tells me we will have another farewell tour and another year of gratuitous ass-kissing of Favre.
Brett Favre.
Parcells, he's an egomaniac. Right. What do you want?
But I don't think anyone's ever not considered him that.
No.
I mean, he's been criticized
yeah.
pretty much throughout his career.
Yeah.
So nobody's ever pretended that he's this great team-first, good guy, or anything like that. He looks out for Parcells in his next job.
Just a quick side note. I heard some people complaining about the two African-American coaches and saying it's not a big deal. It must be nice to be white and have those kind of opinions.
Right.
You got to remember something. This isn't slavery. 15, 20 years ago, there wasn't any black quarterbacks or black coaches in this league. This is a big kind of a big deal for the African-American society there. And it bothers me that white people say, yeah, it's not a big deal. Andy has Bo Jackson. You know who my guy was? Major Harris. Played quarterback at West Virginia. Was same size as Troy Smith. Exact same size. Brought West Virginia to the national championship game. Could run, could throw the ball 75 yards in the air. Do you know what round he was drafted? Try 12.
the 12th round. That's back when they didn't think he, right now, this guy would be a first-round draft pick. And that's what black quarterbacks had to go up against back then. And, you know, there wasn't many black coaches. So to say this isn't a big deal, I know the media is going to overhype. Listen, we know that what the media is going to do.
Right.
They're going to make us sick by the end of the
Even Dungy said that. But it is a big deal.
It is a big deal.
And, I mean, I don't want to say it's racism, but Lovie Smith has, what has he been, 3 years he's been there? One, he's gone to the Super Bowl. One, they went 13-3.
They're wondering if they should bring him back.
Right, and they're wondering if they should bring him back.
Meanwhile,
I'm sorry.
Meanwhile, the Cowboys want to bring North Turner in for an interview.
Oh, and by the way, he had two successful seasons with Kyle Orton and Rex Grossman trying to lose games for him half the time. So, come on.
Joseph from Brownsville, Texas. Thanks for a great season. Tough loss, but by the middle of the fourth quarter, I didn't care who won. I just wanted it to end. The suspense was unbearable. Also, I finally broke down and bought the Three Games to Glory box set. My intention was, after
sucker.
The Patriots won, to watch it in anticipation for a fourth Super Bowl championship. Unfortunately, that wasn't the case. I guess I'll have the entire offseason to watch it.
Play it at the funeral.
Well,
Joseph, did you shave your head for a trip to Miami like I did?
And that's true. You did, right?
I thought we were going to the Super Bowl.
Hey, looks like the ridiculous fool in 30-degree weather.
Let's see. This is an interesting one. This is from Bob Appleman, and he's from Kamuela, Hawaii. Is that how you pronounce it? Gary, I know you're a big Hawaii expert.
I don't know. You're jumping around.
Okay. Anyway.
Can I stay at your house if I come cover the Pro Bowl?
He's from Hawaii. He says, I live in Hawaii and watch the game Sunday.
He's from Hawaii. He says, I live in Hawaii.
Sorry the Patriots lost. As a retired physician, I noticed that one of the pass receivers who dropped two easy passes in the second half has hyperthyroidism. You could see the whites of his eyes above the iris, as well as a swelling in his neck in the region of his thyroid. I'm not sure of his name, but you will know. If he is not under treatment already, he should be evaluated.
Guessing that's Richey Caldwell. And
no, we know.
Finally, somebody brings something to the table.
Yeah,
well, that's not just making fun of him.
Hyperthyroidism.
Wow.
I wish we had access so I could ask him about it.
Well, we should find that out, if he's under treatment for that.
That's interesting. Very interesting.
I would think he is, if that's indeed the case and everything.
Maybe he doesn't know he has it.
Well, wouldn't you think that one of the team doctors or one of the would know something and say, hey, do you have hypothyroid or whatever?
Yeah. Marshall from Ohio, he is Marshall. after a few days of digesting
this
loss, I have come to this idea to comfort the defeat to the Colts. When we look back at this dynasty, it will be characterized by the competition they played against during the time period. Now that the Colts won the big game and may win the Super Bowl, it is clear that the years they beat the Colts in advance to win the Super Bowl, the Patriots are defeating good Indianapolis teams. Our greatness, in part, will be linked to their success. Do you see anything in this? Do you think that we will be rebuilding or retooling as a team next year?
Well, I've always said that, yeah, the Colts had the misfortune of losing to future Super Bowl champions.
Yeah.
There's not really a ton of shame in that.
It's like Joe Frazier. His unfortunate thing was being with Ali.
But if they say they win the Super Bowl this year, then you look back on last year and say, well, they had a chance to win that game.
Yep.
And the game to the Patriots a couple of years ago, and if they can win another one, then you're going to have sort of overlapping errors of greatness here in the AFC.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, that's it for this edition of PFW in Progress. We will see you next Wednesday at noon. Get your emails ready for that one. We'll be here.
Breaks the tackle, drives it upfield, to the 10, to the 5, touchdown!